after a planned and unplanned weekend off, we're back and we've got lots of news to catch up on. Join us for a few weeks worth of updates on VR, DLC releases, streaming of multiple kinds, and the long arm of the law. All this, your comments and more starting right now in the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio. Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice, Orange Lounge Radio. It feels so good to say that. Episode number 744 for this September 16th of 2018. My name is Rob Roberts, and I'm joined, of course, here in studio. We're based in Sacramento, California, the one and only Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Good to have you back.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
It's good to be back. It's been a couple weeks, as mentioned in the intro. And by the way, of course, Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers, she is on a planned leave due to her day job. She'll be joining us through the magic of a radio a little later on in the show in a pre-tape segment. So, but as far as being in the now is concerned, we were always going to be off 2 weeks ago because I was at Dragon Con, which, by the way, my God, Dragon Con at this point feels like it was 6 months ago, okay? I mean, it feels like it was an eternity, but I had a fantastic, wonderful, amazing time at Dragon Con. It really was like my best year yet in many ways. I'll talk a little more about that in a minute. So I knew I was going to be off for that show, and that was Labor Day anyway, but then we unexpectedly missed last week, and things happen, you guys. What happened is that, and I'll just kind of give you disclosure. It actually was not Loki or myself or Dark Soccer that was sick. It was actually Alan, my husband, who lives here as well. And I think it's okay that I disclose this. It's a little crazy, y'all. He had a disease called hand-foot-mouth disease, which is something that usually children get. I don't think folks
yes.
above 5 years old. So you're
that
familiar.
Is not necessarily true.
Yes. So adults can get it too. But the weird thing is, and what's stumping all the doctors, is that they couldn't figure out how he got it because he's not around kids. We don't have kids. So here's the thing. The doctor thinks he got it from food because he was eating out all the time while I was out at Dragon Con. And it started to settle in about the Wednesday.
Kids are everywhere, so yeah.
Yeah, I know. So crazy, right? So that's what it was. He's fine now and he's not here anyway. And honestly, could we have done the show last week? Probably, but I did not want to take the risk because since it is a kid disease, I did not want Loki to get it. He's had it before.
I've already had it, yeah.
Yeah, but I didn't want you to get the cooties and then give it to your kids. That's what I really didn't want to happen.
Well, my son's had it. My oldest son had it. It, yeah, I got it from him, and it's not fun because you get blisters all over your hand.
It's like chicken pox, but worse.
I've never had chicken pox, so.
Oh, I hope you've had the vaccine because that's tough.
I haven't had the vaccine either.
Uh-oh.
I'm living
that.
Dangerously, but no.
You should talk to your doctor about that.
I've had the disease, so yeah, basically I got blisters all over my hands and my feet. And so
no DDR when you have that.
No, and it was hard to play games. I still played games, but it was hard because it was uncomfortable a little bit. But then eventually they go away.
Yeah, and that's where he's at now. They went away.
You get like a fever, I guess, for like a day, and then it just it's just all blisters and that's it.
And so the crazy, I never got it. And we live together, and, you know, we're married.
Yeah, well, my wife never got it. My youngest son never got it.
Yeah, it's weird. So, and I don't know if it's because maybe I had it as a kid, and I just don't know. I know I had chicken pox, but I don't know. But, I mean, I would have been too young to remember anyway. But anyway, this isn't the disease and infectious podcast. It's a video game podcast. But I wanted to give you guys a reason why we've been away for 2 weeks. And also, you know, coming on the heels of Dragon Con, you know that I've done a lot of work and I'm very thankful to be included with the Dragon Con podcasting track, which, by the way, they're going to have a brand new name next year. It's now the Dragon Con Digital Media Creation Track, or DMC. Devil May Cry. No, but it's Digital Media Creation Track. So I've been involved with them for a long time. So every time I come back from Dragon Con, I'm like so motivated to like broadcast and like, I need to start three more podcasts and let's revive a podcast I did 10 years ago and all stuff. Like that's what happens to me when I come back from Dragon Con. And then I had a Twitch 101 panel and that went really well. And I was like, I need to do all the things on Twitch and I need to be streaming more. Blah, blah, blah. So I'm so motivated. I get back and my internet is crazy. Like, I'm not able to upload the speeds that I usually upload at. So my 10 megabit upload, for some reason, is only 5 megabits when I upload to Twitch. But yet, even if I lower my bitrate down to like 4,000 or something under that, I still have problems. So there's something really weird, and I don't want to get into it on this show. I've detailed it on my Twitter at Mr. Rob Roberts. I did actually a Twitch video tonight. So what I did I used that whole premiere thing on Twitch. I recorded a video for 40 minutes at like 2 o'clock. I like played one of the new dungeons in World of Warcraft since I've been tinkering in that expansion. And then I scheduled a premiere for like 4:15 or whenever my video was finally done processing. And so it premiered right at that time. And so it was like a pseudo live stream. I wasn't really live, but it was like I was live. I just didn't have the chat comments. So I guess it's kind of like here at Vaga Network, our radio feed is, you know, we have new episodes of Pod Culture, Mondays, 6 Pacific, 9 Eastern. You know, it's kind of like a premiere in that regard. That's kind of what I did on Twitch. So I talked much more about that. So if you want to see my Twitch channel, Mr. Rob Roberts, I get into all the details about what's going on back and forth. But I'm just in such a good mood now to be doing this show because I feel like my rhythm got thrown when I was at my most motivated I've been throughout the year post Dragon Con. And so, yeah, it's just it feels great to be back. I'll talk about Dragon Con a little more later on, but it is a video game show and there's a lot of big video game news going on this week, namely the Nintendo Direct. Why don't we dive into that first? Especially because this might be the show. I mean, hopefully the first OLR people are hearing coming off Dragon Con is not the one where I got very emotional, which is the show that's been sitting on the feed for 3 weeks before we went to Dragon Con. But I would like to have a little enthusiasm, a little talk here on video games and what's going on with Nintendo. So obviously everybody's talking about this Nintendo Direct. Loki, let's jump in. What did Nintendo do with their Direct?
They announced games.
Well, that's good. We like game announcements, right?
Yeah. And then they talk.
You're Nintendo's biggest critic. How do you feel coming off this Nintendo Direct?
It was okay. It wasn't like I saw one, especially like I paid attention. Actually, that's when I came in the shows when they were talking about their online service. It was like in the middle of that.
Okay.
It's just all right. I mean, it's not very fleshed out, but you're not paying a lot for it. So I guess it's like. What do you expect?
You're getting a vanilla program for vanilla dollars. Yes,
exactly. Yeah. So it's just
all right. Whatever. Well, all the people that roll their eyes when you start to go off on Nintendo, I think they will take. And it was okay.
It was. We'll take it. Wasn't like I didn't have high expectations, and they met those non-high expectations. I guess I don't know what to basically say. I mean, so they announced games, so they had lots of different, like, 3DS games, that, you know, Kirby's Extra Epic Yarn. They had Luigi's Mansion 3 coming to the Switch. They talked a little bit about the new update for Splatoon 2. Mario Tennis Aces was getting DLC. They are remastering New Super Mario Bros. U.
Okay, wait. We're like machine gunning this, and I've got so much to say. No, that's okay. So Splatoon 2, I didn't really my feed kind of hiccuped, so I didn't really see everything. Is it true that this is their Battle Royale update?
If I know. I didn't watch any of that part, so.
Okay, then I need the help of our chatters over at live.vognetwork.com because we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern at the Voice of Geeks Network, vognetwork.com, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And part of the fun of doing the show live is that we have a chat room to give us their comments steer us when we go adrift.
They were, I know, changing up some stuff, how they do Splatfest to go along with this as well. So once that online service comes.
Dark Tetsuya straight up says, yeah, I wasn't sure what that was about, TBH. The parts of the trailer I saw were really kind of abstract. Like, it didn't really explain what was new. And one of my buddies was the one that told me that it was like a Battle Royale update. But I don't know if that was just want or if it's what I read somewhere. Yeah, Nifty asks, where's Flacco? He's the Splatoon expert. He's a podcast listener. He's probably shouting the answer in his car right now.
I believe, I know one of the things I think they changed with the Splatfest, it's now they have kind of like a casual and, you know, competitive mode for the Splatfest. So they're splitting it up that way as well. I don't know. I'm not in the Splatoon, so I didn't pay attention to it. Plus, I came in late. I was walking. I walk now. Apparently, that's a thing I do.
Okay, I'm actually loading Nintendo's site to see what the heck's going on. They're saying new weapons set that are part of the Kensa collections, the whole Splatfest refresh that you're talking about, new sub and special weapons are also on the way. So this doesn't say anything about the whole
Battle Royale.
But it says that Splatoon will have two new modes, Normal and Pro, that replace the solo and team modes and all that. And Normal means you go into a Splatfest battle on your own. And if it's, if you go into Pro, then what is this? You get into, where is this? No, it's talking about the ink. That's still just talking about the casual mode. Oh, pro is for you want to go solo and push themselves to the limit. You're judging your Splatfest power. You can get into the top 100. So that sounds like something that Flacco will be going for over on his stream. So cheap plug for Flacco Jones over on Twitch, Flacco_Jones. I don't think I've seen him not stream Splatoon in a long time.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, that's cool for the people that are still trucking away at Splatoon. That's cool that the game's still getting love.
They did talk about the NES classic games that they're going to have on there.
Yeah. Cool. I saw some really cool stuff in there. River City Ransom. I don't remember that in the first list of 10. So.
Yeah. I mean, it looks nice. It's a nice interface and everything. They're going to have online play for some of those as well.
This really does feel like what we should have had on the Wii.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to finally
or
have
like
it.
The NES Classic system. I mean, and then if you want to get in on that NES Classic gaming and you want to get some Joy-Con controllers that look like NES controllers, you can do that if you subscribe to the service, and it's going to be one per account that gets to purchase those.
Do you think this is an anti-scalping measure? Because as an anti-scalping measure, I'm like I see a lot of hate for this on the internet, but like as an anti-scalping measure, I'm like, yes, finally, Nintendo's doing something about all the scalping of their
maybe, but they probably think, well, you don't need it if you're not paying for the service. So,
I guess.
You know.
I guess. Although, you know what the twist is? If you have a family plan, because you know some people were talking about doing family plan pools, where because family plans can be shared, and I don't know, I think it was like 7 accounts or something. Some people were talking about doing the family plan. You can't get more than one with the family plan. So if you go into one of these pools with 5 other people, only one of you is getting those NES controllers if you want it. I don't know. Like, I don't
That's what eBay's for.
Yeah, well, and I
you'll buy it, and then you'll be like, I don't want this shit. And then you're like, I'm going to sell it for $400.
I don't know if I really need those controllers. Like, I mean, it's like saying the Joy-Cons are bad for playing. I think the Joy-Cons are
fine.
Let's
just put it this way. Most likely, I'm not playing Nintendo games over the internet with people. That's not what I'm going to use the service
this
for.
This is where you and I are different. So, I'm going to use this a lot. I hope there's people
I
that want to play
if
this
if I was going to spend $60 on those controllers, I might as well just buy a fucking NES Classic, because what's the fucking point at that point?
This is why I want my Twitch stream to work, because I think playing something like River City Ransom with, I don't know, Bobby or my buddy Delvin or something online would be a lot of fun, because then we can, you know, laugh and hoot and holler when one of the characters goes barf with the exclamation point, as they do in River City Ransom. So I'm really looking forward to the online thing. I'm like this. I've been waiting like 10 years to play virtual console games online. So this part is like super exciting to me. I mean, sure, I wish there were Super Nintendo games. I wish there were N64 games. I wish there was more. I wish this wasn't being drip fed. But it's something. I'll take it. You know what? It's better than nothing. This is what we have today.
I still don't understand what their fucking app does.
For a lot of people, nothing. And I think that's part of the reason why some people, well, you know, this whole online thing when Nintendo's getting a lot of hate online. People are like, why is Nintendo charging this money and da da da? It's okay. Well, for one, Nintendo warned you this was coming. I mentioned this on the last OLR we did. It's on the back of every Switch game that's online. It says it's free until the launch of Nintendo's online system, which was supposed to be like summer or last year. Like I don't have a Switch game in front of me, but I'm pretty sure a lot of those disclaimers are like it was supposed to be pay a long time ago. This whole thing has just been a courtesy extension or whatever. So I don't know. What are you getting with Xbox Live and PlayStation Plus?
Free games, but like free new games, like recent games.
Okay.
I mean,
but this is to be fair, Nintendo's service is a hell of a lot cheaper.
It's true.
$20 a year versus $50.
But you're getting a lot more like full price games.
Okay.
I mean, I understand that. Yeah, it's you're paying less, but you're getting less. It's
but that's okay. Like I don't see where the thing is to complain about that.
My thing with it is Nintendo, I think, values the value that they see their NES games, their old NES games, is higher than what I perceive them to be. Mm-hmm. I think they should be much cheaper. Should never have been charging $5 a piece for that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Never. And so they feel that it's, oh, you're getting such a value because they're like $5, $8 a piece. Whereas in reality, maybe not so much. I mean, great, yeah. Super Mario Bros. 3, great fucking game. But it's been a great fucking game for decades now. And, like, it's old. It's old. It is. And that, I mean, that is still a great game. But, dude, like, fucking new movies that come out. Like, movies that are decades old aren't necessarily being... They're not priced at the same as a brand new blockbuster movie that just came out. It's because that shit's been out forever and the demand for it isn't as high. Granted, people like being nostalgic and they bought like the NES classic systems and stuff like that. And I'm sure this will be popular for a while, but it's not the same as getting like Switch games. Like, you know, if they offered, you know, even though I don't fucking want it, hey, 1-2 Switch is the free game this month or something mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. You know, like an actual Switch game.
Yeah, but then that would be a steal if they were charging $20 a year. Not a month, Loki, a year. If they were charging $20 a year and giving you stuff on that level, then like that would be Nintendo would be like losing money on
it.
But
that's
such
why
a good
they
deal.
Can't they could charge more for it if they offered more as a service.
Oh, yeah,
for
I
it.
See. All right, I get what you're getting.
But they're not because they don't have it there because this is kind of like fucking Little League shit, you know? So that's fine. Let's let them take baby steps into it. I'm glad that they're actually doing an online service decades late, but whatever.
I don't remember free games being a part of Xbox Live back on the 360. So, you know, it took them time to grow, too. I just think a lot of people had the expectation that Nintendo was going to mirror. Here's what I think happened. I think a lot of people had the expectation that Nintendo was going to mirror what Xbox Live and PlayStation do, meaning you're going to be able to, like, people, I swear, I think there were people out there that was expecting this direct to be like, now you can stream your games online through the Switch. You can do share play with a friend through the Switch. You can have trophies and achievements that get unlocked. Like, people are just straight up making shit up.
Why they can't just have, like, okay, these NES games have the multiplayer component to them. And, you know, later on, other NES games could get that multiplayer update as well. But for now, you can still play them, but they're single player. Or you can play them on the local co-op. Why can't they do that?
You wanted that avalanche of like 100 NES games.
Why can't they do that?
Because
they could have totally done that. It's just that they're like, no, no, no. We need to make sure that we get them all having multiplayer. You know what? There's one-player NES games out there. There's plenty of one-player NES games. Fucking Legend of Zelda. I'm sure that's part of it. But that doesn't need fucking two players in it. There's lots of one-player NES games that you could just throw up there. Don't tell me it can't fucking run on that because Homebrew runs that shit.
Okay, Orange Wright in our chat at live.vognetwork.com says, it's good that there is an import and a game that was never on the virtual console in the first year. They didn't wait until 2019. Granted, it's Twinbee and pro wrestling, but still, and not to insult Twinbee. Okay, well, that is neat that at least there is, I mean, pro wrestling was not that good of a game. And that's not me slamming wrestling. Like, there was a WrestleMania game on NES that was cool, but Nintendo's pro wrestling game was, like, not that good. But it is still neat that, you know, it's there and it's something that you can make a decision for yourself on if it's good or not. And the thing that is actually kind of cool about this whole Netflix style system that they have is that if you play it and decide after 30 seconds you don't like it, well, it came with your subscription to play Mario Kart Online anyway. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm into it. Like, you know, we knew Nintendo was going to be charging for online. It's not that expensive, all things considered. I'll probably just plop down for a year up front. And now I'll have these NES games I can play with friends online.
I'm
going to
do that as well because
cool.
It's not expensive. And because I need to, yes, if I ever want to play online, although I have not.
It would have been fantastic if Reggie came out of that direct and said, 100 NES classics and 50 Super Nintendo classics all out the gate. And you get a game and you get a game and you get a game. But you know what? This is the more realistic approach. It's fine. We all knew Nintendo was going to drip feed it. I just wanted to keep the pace up. If they're going to add three more to the pot every month, like they're showing, like keep that up for 5 years. You know what I mean? Make sure you have that plan to keep this going for years. Because I imagine, you know, and I'm okay with, okay, and then when they run out of NES games, let's say in a year's time that they want to do, now the Super Nintendo games start coming and then the N64 or whatever they decide to do. But it's very obvious that they're not looking to do everything or we wouldn't have things like this SNK collection, the Sega Ages. Like, this is not going to go down the same path, or Arcade Archives. This is not going to go down the same path as Virtual Console. Nintendo is keeping this Nintendo. I think it's a given we'll get Super Nintendo eventually. I just hope – one more thing I'm going to say about this. I just hope it doesn't go the whole DS route where it's well, you need the new 3DS to play this. Because y'all know, we all know, we all know there will be a Switch Deluxe of some sort. It will happen. Maybe not next year, but, you know, around the time that PlayStation and you know, Sony and Microsoft are starting to show off what's next for them, Nintendo's going to be like, well, how about the power of the Switch Deluxe? And now you can play Super Nintendo games, but only through the power of the Switch Deluxe.
To which I'll tell them, fuck your stupid Super whatever Switch game.
Be prepared.
That shit can fucking play Wii games now, okay?
I know. It should.
It should fucking...
It is playing Wii U games.
This is about as stupid as saying Sony's PlayStation 4 can't fucking handle PlayStation 1 games. It's goddamn retarded. It's just... You can't say that intelligently. It's dumb. The system can fucking handle Super Nintendo games.
All right, let's move on. What else did we have, Logie?
Anyways, Katamari Reroll. So they're remastering that again.
Okay, yay. I'm very happy about that.
Because last time it came out was remastered, so it's fucking remastered yet again.
You know what, though? I seem to recall the first two games were the good ones, and then it didn't get very good after that because I don't think the guy who created Katamari was with it anymore, and so they started to kind of, you know, roll off the rails a little bit. So I'm okay with a remaster of the first game. I really am. It's been long enough. Let's revisit it in glorious widescreen. I'm imagining it's a down... Oh, no, maybe they are going to release it as a cartridge. I don't know. But whatever. I'm in. It's Katamari.
Well, yeah, I have to get it.
Yeah, I know, right?
I'm just disappointed that it's not new, because it needs to be new.
Sorry, I'm screaming over here. SSG100 Matt in chat says, last time Katamari was this big in the news, OLR was in trouble over it. Truth.
It's true, yeah.
How quickly we forget the Vita game. How quickly we forget there was a Katamari launch game on the Vita. All right, anyway.
Was it Touch My Katamari?
Maybe. I don't remember what it was called. Yeah, probably.
It was not very good from what I remember.
It was okay. But yeah, I mean, it just, you know, it wasn't enough to keep the Katamari games or games in general coming on the Vita. All right, so yay Katamari. What else?
And then, of course, they were showing off the new fighter for Smash Brothers. And, of course... coming from Animal Crossing, and then of course Animal Crossing itself. So there was the fake tease that, oh hey, it's just an Animal Crossing character fighter, and but then there's also Animal Crossing.
Yeah,
and Tom Nook. I was hoping Tom Nook would be the fighter, but you know.
Yeah, I actually thought it would be a reveal that Tom Nook was like a shadow character. That would have been kind of rad. As if I'm poo-pooing the news of a new Animal Crossing. No, that's very exciting. But, you know, I like literally 2 minutes before the direct, I wrote this tweet that was like, I can't live tweet the direct because I need my phone to be able to watch it. So, you know, lower those expectations. Don't expect them to announce a new Animal Crossing. And then, of course, when that first trailer started, I was like, aw, motherfucker, they're going to announce Animal Crossing right after I wrote that tweet. But then I pretty – like she says something like – the mayor's away or something. She says something where it's very obvious. Oh, she's going to reveal that she's in Smash. Of course, we knew the Isabelle and Smash rumors were out there months ago, you know, and it's a very logical character to add to the game. So of course, and then I was like, oh, okay, so that's what they're announcing. Wow. What a troll. This is an epic troll. And then the second trailer started and the disclaimer came up again on the screen, may not reflect actual gameplay. And that's when I knew, this is an actual Animal Crossing reveal. They just fucked my tweet. But you know what? If I'm going to be wrong, that's the reason I want to be wrong. I'm never happier to be wrong than cases like that. I just, you know, I knew a new Animal Crossing game would happen someday. Of course one's going to happen. I just didn't think it would be this soon. I really did think Nintendo was going to focus on the mobile thing, but maybe because the mobile version hasn't really taken off for them, they decided, let's do this.
And they had a new Game Freak game called Town. It's a working title. So that looked interesting. It all takes place within one town or something. RPG. They had, what was it? Final Fantasy, and more Final Fantasy. Crystal Chronicles Remastered. Final Fantasy 15 Pocket was out that day. World of Final Fantasy Maxima, Chocobo's Dungeon, Final Fantasy VII, Final Fantasy IX, Final Fantasy X, X-2, and Final Fantasy XII. Sorry, no 8. Or six.
Okay, here's... Okay, can we talk about this for a minute? Okay, first off, I am so here for the Chocobo Dungeon and for Final Fantasy
Where
Crystal
the fuck's
Chronicles.
Chocobo Racing? That should have been the racing title that should have been highlighted there. Where's my Chocobo Racing remaster?
I'm not going to disagree. So here's what's obviously happening. Square Enix is taking all of their PC ports that they've done recently and are going back into Unity or whatever, and or whatever it's an export to Switch. And basically, obviously, I'm very much oversimplifying what really happens. I know that. But we know they're taking their PC ports and basically now porting them over to Switch, you know, because it shouldn't, you know, it shouldn't be that difficult. Especially like the 10 and 10.2, those were on PlayStation 3, as was, you know, Final Fantasy 7 was a download title on PlayStation 4. I don't remember if 9 was, but I know it was a PC title. So they're obviously dumping this whole library onto the Switch, which is cool. I mean, I got really excited seeing that Final Fantasy XII is on the Switch, but then I'm like, I've already bought that game two times. Once on PC, once on PlayStation 4. I'm not going to buy it again on the Switch just to have it portable. But I think it's great for the people that maybe only have a Switch at home and not a PC strong enough to run it. That's cool for them. They'll finally get to play the game. Yay. But I find it fascinating just how much of the talk on Twitter like is, where's Final Fantasy VIII, though? Where's Final... What? Do you hate 8? Where's Final Fantasy 8? And I'm like, they just announced 7, 9, 10, 10-2, 12. They announced 5 Final Fantasy games, and you're complaining about the one that's not there. And here's the thing. Most people that are making that... I say most people, because I know there's going to be somebody that pops up and says, no, I'm very serious in my complaints. Most people that are writing those tweets and complaining Nintendo hates Final Fantasy VIII or whatever the hell they're saying out there would probably not buy it anyway and are not going to buy 7 or 9, which are very similar. And this goes beyond, look, I know you all know I don't care for Final Fantasy VIII. It is my least favorite Final Fantasy game. I said it, deal with it. And the reason why, it's not the story. I get that y'all are tied to the story. It's not the story that upsets me. The story's fine. The story should have been the Final Fantasy movie they did. It's that draw junction thing completely ruins the gameplay for me. Deal with it. But here's the thing. I don't understand. Like, finally, after all these years, we can say Final Fantasy VII is on a Nintendo system. Who would have thought we would ever see the day? But yet everybody just wants to complain. But where's 8? Well, did you think that maybe if you support some of these other games, maybe there will be incentive to do 8? Maybe 8 was not as portable as it, because again, they just recently did 7 on PlayStation 4. I'm not talking about the remake. I'm talking about, remember at the PlayStation Experience a couple years ago, they announced Final Fantasy 7 available today. And it had that audience reaction of the stone faces because it was the old Final Fantasy 7. So that is what is going on the Switch, as is, you know, 10, 10-2, 12. We all know what we're getting with that. So it's just, you know, for whatever reason, 8 just isn't as easily portable. But if these other Final Fantasy games do well, then I would imagine they're going to have the incentive to maybe go back and do some of these other Final Fantasy games, which would include, yes, maybe 8. I kind of don't want them to do Final Fantasy 5 and 6 if they're just going to slap those mobile ports that are on Steam over to the Switch, because those games deserve better. But, you know... We'll see what happens. I think it's still exciting to have Square Enix games, Final Fantasy games and all this coming out on the Switch this much. I'm here for Crystal Chronicles and Chocobo Dungeon. The rest of them, I've already bought them, so I don't see myself buying them again just to have them portable. That's it. Anyway, going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. YYR says, hold up, I have a question. Did they announce the Final Fantasy VII remake for Switch or just an old port of Final Fantasy VII? No, not the remake.
Old
just
port.
Old
the port. You can't run that shit.
Yeah, it's not going to be able to run the remake.
that's why Final Fantasy XV looks the way it does.
Yeah. So, well, the Final Fantasy XV has been out on phones for forever. That's why I'm nervous that if these, all these, they're going to just do 5 and 6 and that terrible Chrono Trigger.
I know,
PC
it's
thing
so
next.
Weird that game, you know, the Switch runs mobile games quite well. You know what else runs on mobile platforms? Fucking Super Nintendo games. That's right.
All right. Anyway. SSJ100 Matt says, I just found it funny that they so obviously skipped 8. I also don't like Final Fantasy 8, but I mean, just because they didn't announce it now doesn't mean they won't come out with it later. Yeah, I mean, the big oversight of 8, when it's like 7, 9, 10, we all know why they don't do 11, it's online, and 12. You know, it's like there's very obviously...
No, I don't know why they don't do 11. Why isn't 11 on the Switch?
Fair enough. But there's very obviously a number missing in that sequence, which for me, when I'm not a big fan of Final Fantasy 8, is great for trolling tweets, but I'm not really trying to be an asshole. Like, I'll get my one little troll tweet out of my system, and then it's like, but, you know, for those that like 8, I do hope it comes out eventually. And from what I understand, the PC version did allow you to draw 99 magics or something. Like, there was a cheat built into it so that if you hated the system like I do, it made it a lot easier. But it's like, but the system's still there in the first place. You even have to draw one still. It's bleh. Anyway. I think it'll go okay for him. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I might buy Final Fantasy IX only because I haven't bought it a second time yet. Well, there you go. Fifth Dream says, I love 8. I thought I was the only one, though. Not if you
like
check
8.
Twitter. Not if you check Twitter. You would think the whole world, 8 is their favorite. I was like, where were you people to fight me earlier? Anyway. All right, so Final Fantasy galore from Square Enix. That's pretty cool.
And of course, they showed Daemon X Machina, which is the kind of Armored Core spiritual successor type thing.
Oh yeah, that looked interesting.
Civ 6,
yay! And it's not. It didn't look like it was a cartoonified like Civ Revolution type thing. Which actually, I love Civ Revolution, so I wouldn't even care if it was that. But it looks like it really is just like Civ 6, but on the Switch. So that's pretty cool.
And then Yoshi's Crafted World.
That looked cute.
Yeah, it looked neat.
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously it's a throwback to Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island. And there's been a few other games inspired by that since. Like the yarn Yoshi Woolly World or whatever that was.
Yeah.
So.
That's all I could think of.
All right.
And then, what was that I was going to say? They had a fighting game collection, or not fighting game, like a arcade brawler collection that was from Capcom.
The Final Fight and like all those games. You know what's interesting? And we should talk about this. A lot of those announcements were not unique to Switch. That beat 'em up collection is coming out on PlayStation. Pretty much everything. The Final Fantasy ports. As the Nintendo Direct is going on, Major Nelson puts out a tweet that says, hey, guess what? We've got all these Final Fantasy games coming out on Xbox soon. And they're getting all the same stuff, except they don't have Pocket Edition or Chocobo's Mystery Dungeon for whatever reason. But like the 7, the 9, the 10, 10, 2, 12, all of that is also on Xbox. It was just funny because it was over here, me too. You guys, us over here, I'm cool too. Don't forget your Xbox. We love you. It was just kind of a funny moment on Twitter. I don't know. Like, it struck me as just kind of funny that Microsoft was like, we're cool too. But the thing with Microsoft, and maybe this speaks to the state of where I'm at with my Xbox One, I don't know. I thought the 10 and 10.2 and Final Fantasy 12, I thought all of that was already on Xbox One. I didn't realize Xbox One was skipped over on that stuff. I thought it was already there.
Exclusives.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. So I guess that's why they're happy to finally have them. I don't know. So, anyway. SSG100 Matt says, Capcom beat 'em up collection. That looked cool, and you can do online co-op play. Well, you'll notice a lot of stuff in that Direct, the common theme was online stuff, capped with Animal Crossing, which is, you know, Nintendo's one of their biggest, you know, online games, next to, like, Smash and stuff. But that's a big franchise that people are going to want to play online in some capacity. I mean, we'll find out next year what Animal Crossing will let you do online. But in the meantime, Nintendo, besides Smash, which they didn't really talk about, which I actually think made people happy. Yes, there was the Isabelle reveal, but outside of that, they didn't really talk about Smash Brothers, and I think that's what people were hoping for, is that we wanted to hear about some other stuff. But I think a lot of the games they did talk about, they really relied on some of the third-party stuff. You have a lot of online stuff. Like, there's a reason why the focus from Square out the gate was Crystal Chronicles Remaster, because that's the one you're going to play online, not 7, not 9. Online is the Crystal Chronicles Remaster. Diablo 3 was brought up again, which we knew that was probably originally going to be part of some type of Nintendo online announcement. But now, you know, they announced it for Gamescom, and now we got this instead. But they still talked about it to remind us that Diablo 3 is going to be online. And then, you know, so, and then they showed us that Deus Machina thing
yeah.
is looked very online shootery type of thing too. So I'm surprised they didn't give us an update on Fortnite or something on top of all this stuff.
Fortnite doesn't use it.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. That
we
came out too.
We don't mention Fortnite during the online presentation because it doesn't need
Fortnite
it.
Fortnite doesn't need it. So I still think Nintendo should have snuck it in there as a, this is the system to play Fortnite on, you guys, because Loki, everybody's playing Fortnite. Everybody is playing Fortnite. Like, so I went on a random trip to San Francisco this weekend, and we went by the Microsoft store at the big mall there downtown, ironically not far from the Metreon, which used to be Sony's big thing. But we were at the Microsoft store there, and what is on all the laptops and all the game consoles, and what are people playing that they could probably be playing on their phones, or they're playing Fortnite? They're all playing Fortnite. And we were in the Razer store. And in the Razer store, what's being demoed on the computers? Fortnite. I mean, like, Fortnite is the game right now. But it's, I mean, on if this had been 4 or 5 years ago, it would have been Minecraft. You know, it's just, it's the hot shit of the moment. So I'm really surprised that Nintendo did not try to drop a Fortnite thing in there somewhere. That's all. That's the only thing with online I'm just kind of surprised. But otherwise, I like the Direct myself. I thought there was a lot of good stuff in there. So, kudos Nintendo. Even though they had to push it back a week, you know, because of the hurricane that happened, which I totally respect, but I respect what they had to do. That's totally fine. Interesting the effect that had, though, because the Civ 6 thing got leaked early because of that, because, you know, somebody had a scheduled post over at 2K or something to go up, and it still went up even though the Direct got delayed. So we all knew about Civ 6 a week early. And then, you know, other little things, you know, kind of started trickling out. So it was just interesting to watch that effect of what happened with the delay. But certainly I understand why Nintendo delayed
yeah.
it. Yeah. So, and it gave us something to talk about this week. All right. So anything else with the Nintendo Direct we need to talk about? How about you guys in chat over at live.vognetwork.com?
They also mentioned, of course, you know, there's this save special, you know, cloud saves that you can do. One thing, though, about that, though, is if you stop subscribing to the service, you lose the cloud saves, and you might not be able to get that stuff back, which on the other platforms, there is a 6-month window which you can access those.
Oh, that's good. So you're just going to have to know to pull them down before your thing expires, which you can't even, like, back them up on a USB stick or anything.
Nope.
You have to pull them down to your system and hope your system doesn't fry. That's it.
It's stupid.
I think Nintendo could do a lot better with that. Absolutely.
They're worried
I would
about
agree
being
with that.
Hacked is what it is. And too late. It's fucking too late for that. Just who cares at this point?
Yeah. All right. Let's see. So I want to talk, before we get into our gaming weeks, I want to talk a little bit about Dragon Con, actually. So Dragon Con was so much fun. It was great. I got to do a variety of panels. I talked about all the panels I was going to moderate on the last show, but I did a panel with Mass Effect voice actors. That was kind of the first big gaming related thing that I did. And that was really cool. Even though the game is old at this point, I mean, I say it's old because, like, Mass Effect and Mass Effect 2 are like 10 and 8 years old. These, you know, titles are aging. There's still so much love for the series. Mass Effect Andromeda only came up once, to which the question asker was quickly reminded none of the people at the panel had anything to do with Andromeda. So I actually kind of jumped in because that's kind of – I see my role as moderator is to kind of deflect some of the questions from the celebrities when maybe it's something they don't want to get into. So as the moderator, I kind of said my piece about, you know, that Andromeda, I think a lot of us were – you know, and I've said it here on the show, a lot of us were really rooting for that game, and it came out. Maybe it could have had a little more time in the oven, and it's unfortunate they weren't given that time. And, you know, the audience – gave the applause that they agreed and all that stuff, and we moved on from that because you know, that's that. But lots of other, you know, it's cool to hear about their other projects and things. Courtney Taylor, who voices Jack in the game, she works with this organization called Nerds Vote that registers people to vote at conventions. So I want to give that a shout out. Hopefully at some point I can get her or somebody else that works on that project here on the show to talk about that. I would love to do that at a later date, before the elections in November, obviously. So a reminder, register to vote if you haven't already. So that was really cool. And then I did a panel With the voice actors from Five Nights at Freddy's sister location, where we actually played through the game. I didn't play, thankfully. a Twitch streamer, her name is Panina Chan, shout out. She did the actual playthrough there live with the voice actors. And it was actually a lot of fun because the whole audience, you know, I did not realize how many kids are into Five Nights at Freddy's. Boy, did I underestimate how many kids are into Five Nights at Freddy's.
There's a new hotness on there, too, now. My son's totally into Ink. Was it, God, what the fuck is it? Something in the Ink Machine. I don't remember what it's called, but it's basically like, think Mickey Mouse, but Five Nights at Freddy's.
Oh, no.
It's like, it's your child's first horror game.
So, yeah, I knew some kids were into it, but I was not surprised. I was kind of surprised that that was very much a family panel of people that showed up. There was like a lot of mixed ages there. So anyway, you know, we were playing through the game and the voice actors are fun. We had some technical difficulties at the beginning, so we just did a little bit of light bantering and did some studio audience questions. A couple things struck me. One, the voice actors, I mean, they were all great. They're all gracious, obviously. They're all very young, which is interesting when I'm like, wow, you're like maybe 24 tops, but and you've accomplished so much more in your life than I have. But I thought they were great. They were so professional and everything. And they were messing with the audience. Like there's this really tense thing where you're crawling through the air vents. And then at one point, Kellen, who does the voice of Freddy Fazbear, like actually just did the voice very loudly in the mic and like scared the audience. And that was really funny. We all had a laugh. And then, of course, I don't know if she did it on purpose, but we knew this had to happen at some point. Panina Chan triggered a jump scare, and the whole audience was like, ah! And so that was a lot of fun. And, of course, the voice actors are giggling like crazy because they're all into it and think it's funny. And I think one of them was actually legit scared, too, because, you know, it's a scary game. So, like, I was even kind of, like, looking away. Bobby Blackwolf was really cool. He came to all my panels, even though he wasn't necessarily co-hosting them, but he was kind of like my emotional support kitten for all these different panels. He's looking away from the screen like, I know something bad is going to happen. I'm not going to look at this. I'm just not going to look at it. So that was a lot of fun. No, nothing came up on the movie. I think somebody asked a question to them about did they want to be involved. And you can imagine it was like, yes, we would love to be involved with the movie. Please call us was kind of the the direction that we got. So, but, you know, sadly for them, I think some of these roles will probably go to, you know, the typical movie actors you hear. But hopefully they'll get to be involved in some way or another. And then I did a Twitch 101 panel with one of the engineers from Twitch, and she was great. She was really nice, and we had a really good panel, really productive talk. It was 101, so I was talking about Twitch, like what is Twitch? But there was a lot of people in the audience who had like no knowledge of Twitch, so I thought that was really cool. And there are of course some affiliates and, you know, people of all levels in there, but I think even for those people it was a really good networking opportunity to like meet other live streamers and stuff. So, and even I learned, like, I had no idea Twitch had a whole creators camp online that helps you learn how to do this stuff. So I thought that was really cool. So that was a really productive panel. And then the last panel I did from the video game track was probably the biggest. I did the Overwatch voice actors, and that was a huge ballroom that was wired with cameras because that's one of the ballrooms that can go on Dragon Con TV, which if you've never been to Dragon Con TV is available in all the host hotels in your room during the convention, and they air select panels on Dragon Con TV. So you can watch them in your room so you don't have to try to go stand in line or whatever for these panels. So if they have a big, like John Barrowman, every year John Barrowman's there and has a panel, it'll be on Dragon Con TV, right? So if you want to watch that in your room, you can. Now, my panel was not on Dragon Con TV. I don't know if it's on the online version. It might be. I don't know. But I think what happens is that if one of the other panels has a technical difficulty, they will revert to something else. So I think we might have been the B panel because all of our stuff was labeled. You may be like on the, what you don't see on the front of the card has my name on it. On the back of the card, what I'm looking at has a little thing that says, smile, you might be on Dragon Con TV, and kind of like a reminder about like language and stuff.
Don't pick your fucking nose.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. How'd you know? Yeah, it said, don't pick your fucking nose. Right? No, it didn't say that. But anyway, Bobby Blackwolf says it is most likely on the online version. So I guess we'll have to. Maybe I'll have to pony up the $10 and check that out. I don't know. But here's the funny thing. I know a bootleg is out there because I searched YouTube when I got home. There was a bootleg of the panel out there. So it was big. It was big enough to be bootlegged. But all those voice actresses were, and it was all women because they were all the voice actresses of D.Va, Symmetra, and Mercy were there, and they were all super nice and great. And the questions, there was a really, really good question. And like, let me tell you this, like, I have to be professional as a moderator and try very hard not to be a big fanboy. But I was about to let me tell you when I was about to like just jump up and give one of these people a hug. Anjali, who does the voice of Symmetra, she got a question about what would be the charity skin that you would do? Because like Mercy had the breast cancer awareness skin, right? So the question was, what would be the skin that you would want to do and what would it look like? And Anjali's answer said, well, I think it would be very obvious that Symmetra's should do something for an autism charity and autism awareness. And, you know, she wanted her charity to be that. And she wanted the skin for Symmetra to be something that was like a world or global and something that was very inclusive because autism, you know, isn't always something, you know, that you see. There's all these different levels. There's all these types of people that are dealing with all different levels of autism. And it's an issue that can affect so many people. And she had such an eloquent answer that I'm not really relaying appropriately here on this program. I'm not giving that answer the eloquence that she gave it, but I really just wanted to jump up and give her a big hug and say that was like the best like answer you could have like possibly given to that question. So and I just like I was moved by that. So that was my favorite part of that whole panel, by the way, if you're curious, was that particular question and answered. And SG 100 Matt says, yeah, that was well thought out. Make it happen, Blizzard. Yes, I agree. So anyway, yeah, that was a great panel. And so I didn't even really talk about, and just for time's sake, I probably won't get into, because that's a little more shop on the podcasting track. And the video game track stuff, with the exception of the ballroom panel, if you weren't there, you can't see it. Like, it wasn't like taped or anything. But the podcasting track, or now in the future digital media creation, that all streamed on Facebook Live, and all those panels are available to see on Facebook Live. So if you want to go check that out, and I encourage you to, you can check that out on the Digital Media Creators DragonCon page over on Facebook. So yeah, lots of fun panels there as well. But anyway, I do want to move on for time's sake. I want to get into a little bit of our gaming weeks, and then I want to talk a little bit about one other thing that kind of traces back to Dragon Con, but it has to do with the future of OLR. I'll get to that in a minute. Nothing bad. Don't worry. most of you already know what it is, but not everybody may have heard this yet if you're not listening to Bobby Blackwolf or you weren't following all the Dragon Con news. So I want to get into that in just a minute. But first, let's talk about our gaming weeks. And how was your gaming week, Loki?
No, I did play a few things. So I made it out to the arcade at one point to go. I had some time to kill. And so I went and played Dance Dance Revolution Ace. And so
nice.
I got to play a little bit of that. Not very long, though, because I had to go pick up my kids. But I got to play through a few songs of that. And the interface is really confusing. Luckily, the dude there spot me games because he had put like a ton of money into the machine, which is kind of bad form, but whatever, free games. So I got to play that a bit. And I don't know. I don't understand necessarily the new step charts too much. The new interface is all right. But yeah, there's a definite change in like kind of how it is. I like how everything kind of defaults to like the solo arrows and stuff, so it's a little bit easier to see, because I was going into the options and like, okay, I see speed options, where's my arrow options that I'm used to on my extreme machine? Oh, it's not here. Okay, well, fuck it, I'll just play without it. And then, oh hey, well, the arrows look like that anyways, so that was cool. So I played through a couple games of that, and then I did download the demo for Mega Man 11. And I played through that, and that was pretty fun. I also picked up a game that I had talked about on Twitter before called Old School Musical. And it's like a throwback to old school NES 16-bit games as well. And it's this whole story about these two creatures, Robin. I'm trying to remember the other guy's name. But anyways, they basically have to figure out what's going on with this world that they're in. And so the whole game is played as a rhythm game. And so you kind of watch as they go through different levels that are like a Mega Man level or Metal Gear level or Metal Slug or something like that. And it's just kind of silly. They have this weird thing that has to do with glitches and chickens and stuff like that. So I played through actually the whole game. I've already beaten it because it doesn't take too long to get through it. It's only, you know, rhythm game, so it's like 2 hours or so. But then they have this other part that's this chicken mode that you have to go through, that you play through a bunch of songs, and that's takes a lot longer and it's a lot harder because they have like modifiers that appear on your play field, so it makes it a lot harder to distract you or to make it harder to see the stuff that you're supposed to be doing. So very funny game. They have lots of parodies for different things. I posted an image on Twitter where they have a Sydney parody that's Sid. So it's an old man dressed up like Sydney from Final Fantasy 15, scantily clad and everything. It's hilarious.
Nice.
And like your characters several times, you know, the younger brother is actually of these two guys is the larger of the two. And so it's kind of throws you off a little bit, but he keeps getting dressed in like female clothing, like in the Metal Gear level, he's dressed up like, oh God, I can't remember her name, but scantily clad, like in Metal Gear Solid 5.
Oh, Q or whatever her name was? Quest, Quiet. Quiet,
Quiet, yes. Yeah. Dressed up like Quiet.
Well, whatever. Gender is a construct, tear it apart.
It's just hilarious. Yeah. It's funny, though, because you know, he's like talking about, like, you know, why you keep getting dressed up like that? He's like, whatever, I'm working it. You know, it's like,
yes, bitch, slay.
It was funny because like he gets dressed up like Princess Zelda at one time, and like during the level, yeah, oh yeah, there's one level you have to find this guy named Clint, which is obviously Link because the chickens have taken him away for her torturing chickens.
Okay,
and he's smashed
so phone. Very tongue in cheek video game references in a don't sue me kind of way.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, and a lot of the music too has kind of like throwbacks to the those songs as well. So, and they have like a lot of cool stuff in there, so definitely go check it out. I picked it up on both platforms. I meant to play it on the Switch, then my kids demanded I give them the Switch, like, like immediately, like after I'm like I bought it and I'm ready to play it and stuff, and then my son decides he's gonna do homework sitting behind me. I'm like, motherfucker, you know, like
how dare you do your homework?
Like, when am I gonna dare you do your homework? And then they're like, I want to play something on the Switch. I'm like, oh god damn it, you know. So fine. So I had to buy it on PC, and I beat it through on PC, and I downloaded the they have some DLC for it as well, but it's like additional tracks. It's all chip tunes, so it's pretty awesome, but definitely worth checking out. It gets pretty difficult too as you play through the game, and I'm only playing on normal, and there's a difficult mode as well that's even harder, so definitely worth checking out. It's a great game. Unity game too, so that's pretty cool. And then what else did I play? I don't remember. I think that was pretty much it. Yeah, just DDR Extreme at home. Yeah, I think that was it. It's installed some other stuff, but I think it. Well, I played a lot of the Lego Ninjago game because my son keeps having me pass through different parts of that game for him. So I played a bit of that. Oh, I remember. What else? I don't know if I played. I picked up Galaga in double piece because it was on sale. It's kind of a weird like shooter game. I played it on the Xbox 360 at one time, but I haven't gotten a chance to play through much of that. But it's just like I remember. It's just silly, weird, very innuendo. Right. Oh, and then I think I mentioned that I beat Donut Country. I don't remember if.
Oh no, you never. No, we haven't been here for a little bit, so you haven't really been able to talk about Donut Country at all.
Was another game. That's the one that's like Katamari. It's basically this raccoon has this tablet, and he opens a donut shop, and he thinks that he is, when people order a donut from him, he delivers a hole that like basically sucks up all their trash, which for to him everything is trash. So he like take, you know, sucks up all their stuff. And so it's talking about this kind of flashing back to how they all ended up in this hole or donut. And so they
a donut hole.
Yeah. And so they it's just a silly thing. It has to do with like the King of the Raccoons and stuff like that. It's just this weird game, but it's a little bit like Katamari, but a little bit more just linear because there's no real time limit. You just have this hole that gets bigger as you drop things into it, and you have to solve some puzzles with that. not a whole, like, it's not a very difficult game, but it's fun. It's got that kind of charm to it that Katamari has.
Wait, I have to know if this is a reference to the game. Pooba in our chat room says, Loki, have a garbage day.
Yes, that's...
Okay, I was like, is that a reference to the game, or did somebody just literally come into chat to tell you to have a bad day? Because either way, I'm okay with that comment.
It's every level has the same thing. It's okay. The raccoon thing. It's all have a garbage day.
Okay. That's funny. I like that. But also have a garbage day. All right.
So that was it. Yeah, that was all I played this week.
All right, let me talk about my gaming week. For my gaming week, I've done a lot. So when I was at Dragon Con, Bobby had his whole setup there at Dragon Con with VR. So he had the HTC Vive, which sadly not... I didn't play it as much this year as I did previous years, but again, probably just because we were busy. We had a lot, not only I had 8 panels and Bobby had 6. Granted, there was a little bit of overlap, but when he wasn't being my emotional support animal at my panels, I was being his. So we were very busy. But we did get to do some VR playing, and he had me play Beat Saber for the first time, which I got to play on the HTC Vive. As a music game fan, I loved Beat Saber. It was so fun. You would love this game, Loki, if you haven't
Well, they're bringing it to the PlayStation.
They are, and I think that's when most people really get to check it out. But it was so fun. What's interesting about it, and Bobby was explaining this to me because I didn't know this, but did you know that it's not like DDR in the way that it grades you, or like Beatmania 2DX? It's not 100% about when you smash the note, but a lot of the flourish that you do, like did you just go to do like a, did you just move your hand slightly to break it, or did you do a big graceful swing of the sword that followed through and broke it? Because if you do more like movement, you get more points, which I think is kind of neat. Of course, perfect attack people are very upset about it and write angry things on the internet, but I think it's their game. They can do whatever they want. And I think it's kind of I think the flourishes go with a lot of the music that's in the game. And I just like it has a really cool movement to it. And I wish on one hand, I kind of wish you could have seen me play that. On the other hand, I'm very thankful that Bobby did not try to live stream video of me playing that game, because it is still a little embarrassing. But it's a lot of fun to play. It's like a must have VR type of thing. And what's interesting is that at one of the panels Bobby was doing, the point came up is that could Beat Saber be done on a TV in a non-VR environment? And it's one of those, well, I mean, technically, sure, you could use your mouse and, all that and play. It's not going to be the same thing at all. Like, the experience would not...
Even with motion controllers, it would just not...
No, it really wouldn't. There's something about having it, like, right in front of you and really being able to see,
The, are you telling me I can't do this with Kinect? Because Kinect can do everything.
I'm thinking no. I'm thinking you're better off not trying to do this in Kinect. So there you go. And Bobby Blackwolf is in our chat and says, you need the 3D positions of the visuals. It's not about the controls, but the visuals. And I would agree with that for sure. So, that was Beat Saber. I really enjoyed it. It would be cool if maybe there was a few more songs, but as I understand it, the game is in early access, so that really shouldn't be a critical point at this time. I just hope that when they release on PlayStation, maybe they'll get a few more songs. But all right, I mean, depending on how much they charge for it, I'm sure it'll still be fine on VR. And maybe they'll add more to it later, that whole type of thing. I bet that's probably what they've been doing, is kind of adding as they go. Bobby does point out that people have modded in songs, but they're just doing like expert hell songs.
Yes, like the full Shrek movie audio track.
Okay, for the lols, okay, funny. But as a practical, would I play this at a party? No, this doesn't work. So anyway, And YYR in chat says it'll probably remain in early access until it's got a good list, like 30 to 40 at least. Okay, cool. All right, let's talk about other games I played this week. So when I got home, my copy of Dragon Quest XI was waiting for me. So I've been playing through Dragon Quest XI on PlayStation 4. God, I forget where I'm at. I don't want to ruin the story too much, but the sisters just joined my party. That should be vague enough. That's not really spoiling anything. But that's about where I'm at in the game. It's about 7 to 8 hours in to the game. So I mean, it's a Dragon Quest game. It's gonna move a little slower. It's gonna be a very long game, like 100 hours. Here's the interesting thing about Dragon Quest. I don't think this series has changed at all, really, since the last Dragon Quest game I played, which is Dragon Quest VIII on the PlayStation 2. I didn't really play 9. 10 was online, and never released here, so I couldn't. It hasn't really seemed to have changed much since Dragon Quest VIII. But I think that's okay. That's kind of what people want. Like, Dragon Quest is that series that hasn't changed a lot. I mean, yeah, okay, they have the pep system in there now, and you can, you know, run around in spots and battle. They haven't changed where, like, Final Fantasy 13, like, radically changed the battle system, right? And some people liked it, some people hated it. Dragon Quest XI didn't do that to you. It's still, you know, fight, item, run, you know, those basic things. If that's the type, which... That is the JRPG a lot of people want to play. So I think
exactly. Square Enix.
So you know what? Well, I mean, Dragon Quest XI is a Square Enix game.
I know, but they have a whole nother series of games called Final Fantasy where they're like, no, let's change up the battle system yet again.
Well, I think that's the difference between these two franchises. Final Fantasy is going to be a little different, and it's going to push the envelope with graphics and sound and all that, whereas Dragon Quest XI is going to be, you know, the tired and true. And that's not to knock it at all. Like, I'm enjoying the story so far. They put voice acting in it, which the Japanese version didn't have. Did you know that? Because there's some hilarious tweets that are like, where's the Japanese voice acting? Punchline, there wasn't any. They added the voice acting for the U.S. version. This is the international version, you know, because it's been out in Japan for a year. So they added the voice acting in for the U.S. version. They didn't release the Switch version, though, which is interesting because there is a Switch version or supposed to be. No, I think there is one in Japan. For whatever reason, they didn't release it here yet. I don't know if the voice acting had something to do with that or what it is. There's also a 3DS version they didn't release here, which... is interesting. You know, again, maybe because they would have had to not be able to add some of the stuff they did. I don't know. I can only play the game that they did release, which is on PlayStation 4. And again, if you like Dragon Quest games, this game will satisfy you. However, I'm going to read this game on one thing. I'm going to tell you what the worst part of the game is. And this might surprise you. Because this is the part of the game. I can't think of a game in a long time where I've said this is the worst part of the game. You ready? You know what the worst part of Dragon Quest XI is? The soundtrack. That's right. And I know. They have a old school composer that's been doing this franchise for a long time. They have a symphonic rendition that opens the game, except once you're in the game, you no longer have the symphonic renditions. It's like a MIDI rendering. Honestly, the game fucking sounds like it's on my Adlib sound card in 1994, which, I mean, I guess in some ways is kind of cool, but, I mean, this is Dragon Quest XI, people. And the songs are just, they're not good. Like... It relies a lot on the retro kitsch of we've been doing this stuff the same way for a long time.
Even retro songs can sound good. It just
It doesn't here, Loki. It just doesn't. So that's the one part of the game I'm going to read. So not everybody's going to disagree, or not everybody's going to agree with me there. Some people haven't already on Twitter, and that's fine. But for me, I just wanted more out of the soundtrack, especially when, you know, you have such a name behind. Why didn't they do the symphony for everything? It probably cost a lot of money. I don't know. But I do know Final Fantasy, you know, even though nothing was wrong with Nobuo Uematsu per se, they've used some different composers lately, and there's been some great music still produced for Final Fantasy, especially in the case of Final Fantasy 14. Y'all know I love 14 soundtrack. 14 is like doing it right. Dragon Quest XI is doing it wrong. So anyway,
Bobby wanted you to review Ready Player One.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah, well, and this is for your benefit too. So okay, so going back to Dragon Con, I stayed an extra day this year so that, you know, I wouldn't be rushing back on Labor Day. You know, and this way I also got to see Bobby and Jennifer's house because I didn't get to see that when I was out there for the wedding. So and I think I'm allowed to talk about this. If not, sorry, but I think he did say I could talk about his theater. So he actually converted part of his basement into like a theater, and it's nice. Like, he has, like, 4K projection. He has the couches that, like, Jamie has in her house. You know, those, like, with the big old cup holders and things like that that are, like, movie recliner seats. He has that, but he has them on, like, the steps.
Yeah.
So that he actually has, like, a back row and a front row. So it's, like, a movie theater. So it's, like, a six-seat movie theater. And so he actually played a little bit of Forza Horizon 3 on that 4K projector on his Xbox One X. And I was like, this is hot. This is really hot. Like, this is the way to game. This is awesome. So, of course, we had to watch something on that. Let's put that movie theater to use, right? Bobby has a guest over. Let's do something. So we decided to watch Ready Player One because I still hadn't seen it. So I will give you this, Loki. It didn't suck. I didn't hate it. It's kind of like how you felt about Nintendo's press conference. I didn't hate it.
That's fine.
It was fine. I wasn't like, oh my God. But I was like, okay, that was for a big popcorn, fun, dumb movie. I was like, it was cool. I was into it. Yeah. Like, it's not going to win any Oscars, but
it was. Of course not.
Yeah. But it was for dumb, fun popcorn. It was cool. Like, some of those scenes that, like, the graphics, the visuals with, like, that racing scene right in the very beginning, that was really impressive. They did a lot of stuff with that was really cool. So, you know, it was a long movie. That was one thing I noticed. It really started to, like, be long and, you know, there were some issues with the plot, but nothing too much.
Well, they kind of abridged it from the book, and
yeah, I heard they really changed.
That's not really an excuse though, because the author of the book also kind of wrote this or helped write the screenplay, so it was all right.
Yeah, Bobby points out that his studio, and I always forget this, his theater, excuse me, has Dolby Atmos sound with two speakers in the ceiling, so the race sounds amazing. It did that, and that's probably part of what. Really, maybe. Now, here's the thing. Going back, like, we made the right choice, and we really do needed to watch Ready Player One. Here's the thing. If I do this again next year, and I stay an extra day next year, not that I'm inviting myself to Bobby's house next year, but there's a part of me that says he probably wouldn't care. I feel like the movie we should have watched is Tron Legacy.
Well, yes.
So maybe that'll have to be next year's selection. I don't know. Assuming there's no, because now I'm like, oh wow, I wonder, you know, thinking about racing scenes and sound and everything like that. I'm like, oh God, Tron Legacy would have been so badass. Anyway, Bobby Blackwolf says, I only have Tron on DVD, and DVDs don't look the best on that screen, even upscaled. Tron Legacy doesn't have the Atmos sound mix, but I'd still use 5.1, and he has officially invited me in chat to stay again after Dragon Con next year.
I have the original Tron on Blu-ray and the Tron Legacy on Blu-ray.
Yeah, I was gonna say I could actually bring my. I do have Tron on because I bought that. I bought that big pack.
Yeah, the collector's edition
that had like all the Trons in it. Yeah, that
all
like Target sold. Well, no, it had the.
I'm
sorry, I said all the Trons because it had the original Tron, Tron Legacy, and it had the Tron Legacy 3D. Disc in it too.
Yes,
they were on separate discs. The 2D and 3D were separate. So
still haven't watched that yet on my PlayStation VR.
Yeah. So all right. So anyway, where were we? So that was another thing I got to do while I was visiting Bobby. So other games, we still have news to get into. We're like an hour. This is what happens when we miss 2 weeks.
Sorry.
Anyway,
I'll have to catch up.
I've been playing Heroes of the Storm, Overwatch as well, continuing on those. That's all I need to say about that. I've been playing the new World of Warcraft expansion. I don't know what that fuck came over me, but I was just like, Final Fantasy 14 is kind of in a lull right now. There are big patches until Tuesday, and like I'm not really playing online with anyone in that game right now, and all I see on Twitter are all my friends playing World of Warcraft. Wow, what the fuck? I'll just renew World of Warcraft. I'll play that for a little bit. And the expansion is fine, but like, the Horde Zone that I'm playing in, Zandalar or whatever, with the big like Mayan temple-inspired thing, it's a bitch to navigate, and I hate that you don't have flying in a zone like that. That's my, like, I know that's like a weird criticism, but that's like my one criticism so far is that like I hate the zone design. I guess that's the criticism. I hate the zone design of that zone. Maybe it gets better. Maybe everybody tells me the Alliance one is way better. I mean, I don't know how much of that is faction bias or whatever, but I'm just saying, since I started with the Horde character, I wasn't too impressed with that particular zone. But what I am impressed with is that I'm like, dang, like, here's a cinematic, there's a cinematic, here's another cinematic. I remember when, like, the WoW cinematic was your reward for, like, beating the Lich King, the final boss in the game. You got a cinematic. You got your one cinematic. Now it's like, dang, they have one, like, for every little thing that happens. And I thought the scenarios that really explain the backstory about why we're on these new islands and why the Horde and Alliance are super fighting again, I thought that was really well done as well. Except the one thing I don't understand, and maybe this is just because I didn't play Legion to completion, so I will fault myself for this a little bit, but one thing I kind of didn't understand is, like, why did Sylvanas just all of a sudden become a crazy person? Like, I understand maybe she was, like, a little crazy before, but why is she all of a sudden, like, really fucking me? Like, it kind of feels like a rehash of what happened to Garrosh in Pandaria. And so that's the only reason why I'm kind of calling it out, is I feel like I'm like, this feels like territory we've been to before. Is Sylvanas going to be the last boss of the expansion? Because if so, that's kind of dippy, because we've seen that before. So we'll see, though. That's a very minor read. I don't know. We'll see how long I stick with it. But so far, I guess I'm having a good enough time with it. We'll see. Anyway, that's it. That's it for my gaming week. Okay. We're going to get into news, but I need to go over one other topic. So this is not everybody's heard this yet. So one thing we did announce at Dragon Con at one of the panels, and so we talked about it a little bit in Discord, which you can join our Discord anytime at vognetwork.com/Discord, and it was on Twitter and so forth. But I realize there are many of you out there who only download the Orange Rounds Radio podcast every week, and you don't necessarily interact with the show a lot outside of listening to it, which is cool. Like, I'm super happy that you're listening, so thank you. Thank you for downloading the show and just giving it a try in the first place. So I realize there's a lot of you that haven't heard the news. So what is the news? The news is that Orange Rounds Radio is going to be moving a little bit. By the end of the year. I don't have a date yet. It's not Vogue Network is still a thing, so it's not that kind of move. What is going to be changing is that we're no longer going to be using Shoutcast as the platform that we do our live presentation on Sunday nights. So really, since 2002, this is something that hasn't changed since 2002 when OLR started. For the past 16 years, you use Shoutcast, a Winamp-type plugin, to do this show. I mean, technically in the Live 365 years, we had a live, but it was a fancier Shoutcast plugin. That's all it was, okay? So we've used Shoutcast to deliver this show for 16 years. And y'all know if you do the same thing the same way all the time, you're going to get the same results. And we're not getting a lot of new listeners to OLR. You know, we get some, and I'm very thankful. Some of you take to heart what I say at the end of every show, and you do tell a friend or two about the show. Some people find us through social media or when we're live, but we haven't really, really, you know, expanded our audience a lot in several years. And so I think in order to do that, I think we're going to have to really evaluate how, you know, is Shoutcast really the best platform, or is there another thing that could give us greater visibility? Is there another thing that could really expand the reach and accessibility of something like OLR and Bobby Blackwolf and Anime Jam Session and the other live shows that are on Vogue Network? And so we made a decision that we're going to change from a Shoutcast show to a Twitch show. That's right, Twitch. So same thing that a lot of people stream their video games on, but you also know they have an IRL channel, and they do channels where people will tape live shows. Sometimes these are like podcasts. Sometimes it's the host kind of BSing with their audience for a while. That's the type of thing that it is. So instead of using Shoutcast to deliver the show, it's going to be Twitch. However, there's always going to be people, especially after you've done something one way for 16 years, there's always going to be people that are like, but change, but I like the old way. This is what works for me. Well, here's the thing. We want to try something new. And so this is going to be a new thing that we're trying. But I don't want you to feel like the show is going to change. It's not. Yes, there will be video available on Twitch. You will see video of us doing a radio show. So I want to make that very clear. Orange Lounge Radio is not becoming
no!
a television
show. Said Jamie.
Actually, Jamie, we wouldn't have done this if Jamie wasn't cool with it. She's fine with it, you know? And remember, y'all, we've already done this. We did this when Justin TV was a thing. And OLR, like the show that you're hearing, didn't change. It was just that, oh, you could watch it on Justin TV.
Probably need some better lighting in here.
Yeah, this room's going to change a little bit before that happens, but we'll get there. Anyway, my point is that because I don't want people to be freaked out. They're like, oh, my God, Orange Lounge Radio is going to like change. It's a TV thing now. I can't watch it. That's OK. We're still recording a podcast, and it's still going to be the same podcast that you're used to, because I'm very aware that there's some of you out there who are blind or have sight impairments and so forth. And so when I say that we're moving to a video based platform, you might get a little nervous. But I want to try to, you know, ease your fears a little bit, saying that the way we produce and what we're talking about with this show, that's not going to change. Like the way we put together OLR and all that, that's not going to change. It's just like our chat room will be a Twitch chat room. And instead of using TuneIn to listen to Orange Lounge Radio, you will use the Twitch app, which is available on your phone, available on your PlayStation, your Xbox. It's available a lot of places. So that's another reason why Twitch is pretty appealing. So I hope you will at least give it a shot. I don't have a date for that, when that's all going to happen yet. For those of you that don't interact with us live, you only download the podcast every week and check it out. I really don't think for you anything's going to change at all. I really don't, because it's still going to be the same show. It's just that instead of being Shoutcast on Sunday night, it's going to be on Twitch Sunday night. That's the only, you know, change. But I think with a lot of the discoverability features that Twitch has in, a lot of the features when it comes to, some of you have been generous enough to say, I would love to like help you guys pay your bills. I would love to be able to, you know, help Jamie buy more games or help, you know, fund Loki's project. You know, I'm being a little bit facetious, but you guys have been kind enough to say, I want to support the show financially. And I've always been very skittish about things like Patreon because I don't want you paying up front for a service that we then have to deliver on. Because, like, for example, last week, we had to cancel the show due to illness. If you'd paid money for that show, I mean, I'm sure most of you would be understanding, but there would be people that would feel a little bit like, I paid for something I didn't get, right? But the nice thing about the Twitch and the subscriptions and the bits and things like that is that you can tip us if you want. You don't have to. If you want, you can do that. I will not be interrupting the show to read Bit Donate. We have an idea on how we're going to do that. We will acknowledge those of you that choose to do that. We're just not going to do it the way other Twitch streamers have done it, and I'll leave it at that. Or I should say traditionally do it. We'll leave it at that. But it's because again, the radio show has not changed. It's not going to stop every 5 seconds to say, oh, thanks for the bits, ActF, to appreciate it. You know, I'll still read chat comments because we've always done that. But I just won't stop to read those types of things until the break. But also the subscriptions will hopefully allow us to give you something new that you haven't been able to get before. Again, I want to stress, you're not going to have to pay for OLR's audio podcast feed that you've always gotten for free. That's not going to change. You guys know I'm not going to do that to you. So, but it will allow us to offer something additional to subscribers. And if you use your deductive thinking to think about what is going to be different on Twitch versus Shoutcast, you can probably piece together what might be extra for subscribers.
I'm not wearing any pants.
You'd probably be correct on what you're going to get. But I'll leave it at that because officially we haven't worked all that out yet, officially. Anyway, I've been turning away from chat because I haven't been totally paying attention. I want to read some of the comments here at chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Bonds006 says, I listen to the music stream, not as much now, but I used it a lot in the past. I respect that, and I'm sorry that we are having to sunset that. I will point out the radio costs us a lot. The music stuff is in a gray area. I'm not sure we should be playing. I'm not sure that music feed should exist. So another part of the reason we're doing this is to get us out of that legal gray area, because that will also enable us to, you know, do some extra things that we've wanted to do. And I hope you guys will understand. Let's see. Other comments in chat at live.fognetwork.com. Rageator in chat says, FYI, although I can't tip very often because poor, but I have tipped people from time to time on Twitch and I can get bits easily due to watching ads. Yeah, exactly. Like, and again, this isn't about money. This is not about money. It's not about money. It's not about money. Because if we haven't made money in 16 years and we're still doing it.
It's not like we've started a Kickstarter or anything.
Exactly.
We can't do this show.
Here's the thing. If you want to watch ads and tip us, you know, biddies, that is so awesome. I'm so thankful and cool. But you know what? You know what you can do on Twitch for like free? Hosts making clips and sharing those clips on social media. And all of that will be worth just as much as biddies, if not more, honestly. So please don't feel any type of financial obligation to this show. Pooba in chat says, centralized feed, chat and financial support, and all in all, a bigger platform for exposure. This is a no-brainer. So happy for you all. Thank you, Pooba. That's definitely in the right direction as to why we're making this change in the first place. Let's see. Also trying to get some of the other comments here in chat at live.vognetwork.com. Tiger Claw chat says, I'm using a service called Restream, which allows me to broadcast on multiple platforms all at once. So I'd have a stream on Twitch, Mixer, YouTube Gaming, even Periscope. The plan is to go to Twitch affiliate status with VOG Network, and so the affiliate contract would not allow that. We could put clips on YouTube and things like that. I think it's safe for me to tell you that is not in our plan. We will not be putting today, it's not in our plan today. I'm a never say never type of person, but we may do delayed clips on those services in the future, but that's not the plan. The plan is to go all in on Twitch for now. And if that doesn't prove to be the right thing to do, then we might change it later. But again, the Twitch affiliate agreements wouldn't allow us to use the restreaming thing. So it's only going to be on Twitch. Let's see. Tiger Clown chat says, on Twitch, you can do reruns. So if you did a live show, you can have Twitch rebroadcast it since those are archived. You're right. We could. So anyway. All right. Thank you guys for your flexibility. I will give you a date on that. We're targeting by the end of the year, but as Loki hinted there, we have to make a lot of changes to studio. We have to buy some new equipment, which my husband is currently unemployed, so that's, you know, a bit of a challenge. But we are looking at hopefully in the next couple months we'll be there. So the goal is by the end of the year. So stay tuned to all the latest updates. We'll be updating folks in our Discord as well as social media. Again, because I can't stress this enough, and I don't want people to freak out over change. If you're listening to this on your podcast, in your car, on the way to work, because you download this show on Monday morning, I really don't think anything is going to change for you. We're still going to just put out the show as we always have, as we did when we were broadcasting on Justin TV for a short while that most of you probably forgot or didn't know about. It's just that we're kind of going back to that a little bit, but this time there's just, you know, it's all in on that. Oh, anyway. There you go. Dungeon Buster in chat says, small steps forward, progress will come. Yes, I agree. That is a good note to end on. All right, let's move on from there. Let's get enough meta stuff about us. Let's get into gaming news, because we're only like, you know, an hour and 20 minutes into the show, and we've only talked about that Nintendo Direct. But there's other stuff going on, right, Loki?
Yes, there is. In fact, the Nintendo Direct in Japan was a little bit different as well. In fact, one game that's going to be coming to Nintendo Switch in Japan is Assassin's Creed Odyssey. What? You may say, how can that possibly run on a Switch? Well, it's going to be a cloud version of the game. So basically what's going to happen is you're going to be able to stream it to the game console using, I guess, their cloud service. And so that way you'll be able to get the same visuals that you would see elsewhere, but, you know, on a less powerful platform. They're partnering with, I guess, a Taiwanese game stream company called Ubitus Game Cloud. It's going to cost players $20 to rent the game and stream it for 180 days. And all you have to do is download the 45 megabyte client. So interesting that they're doing that.
Interesting they didn't announce it here. Is it something about Japan's internet structure versus ours?
I think theirs is better than ours.
Well, I wouldn't doubt that for a minute. But it's kind of interesting that they're focusing on Japan with that. I think it's a really clever, cool little workaround. I know this isn't the popular concept, but like gaming's kind of going this direction. Like future consoles, like we've already heard rumblings that Microsoft may put out. We don't know for sure. But Microsoft, in addition to whatever Xbox 2 Y console they're going to do in the future, they may put out a very bare bones. There's been a lot of rumors about a bare bones streaming device that only does like the streaming type of stuff and playing games in the cloud and all that. And that's you guys. It's 2018 and the Phantom is finally here. Phantom console finally.
It's just so finally ahead made of its time.
It was just ahead of its time. It was, but it's, well, we laugh, but where's the lie? Do you think that this is where games are? We're going to be playing games in the cloud. I mean, sure, there's latency issues and things like that today, but internet's only going to get better, Loki. Well, at least I hope my internet gets better by Tuesday when the tech comes so I can get back to live streaming. But anyway.
Yeah, I mean, What I would see with like the new Xbox console is it not necessarily going to be like something that it's its own standalone streaming thing. I could see them integrating it into TVs like you would see like with the Roku device. Like my TV has a built-in Roku device and you can just stream it with that. Or it could be an app that works with those devices so that you can stream through that and then you just, you know, sync your Bluetooth Xbox One controller and away you go. So I could see something like that. Be interested in seeing how popular this is. I'm kind of curious to see how it works out. It looked cool based on the demo and stuff. So be interesting to see what other games could come to the platform. And that might be an option for, you know, like Battlefield and Call of Duty and stuff like that.
Oh. Going to chat at live.vognetwork.com. YYR says, get that streaming crap out of my video games. As someone who mostly plays arcade style fast paced games, I don't ever want to stream them. Okay, sure, no, I get that. And like, you can't stream music based games or any of that stuff. Like, I totally get that. But at the same time, what if the internet and all this cloud technology, what if the latency gets just as good on that as it does from the wireless controller to your television is today? Because at the rate the technology is multiplying, I'm just saying, like, you know, we're not there yet, so it's tough to visualize. But I imagine, what, in 10 years, the latency between your wireless controller and your TV is going to be just as fast as latency on your internet. And so some of these issues will get better, I think. You know, but then again, you know, as I'm experiencing firsthand this week, a lot of that falls in the hands of somebody else. And when that fails, it can be very frustrating. So I also can understand why people may not want to go all in on the cloud because maybe their internet is not going to be that reliable. So I get that.
And they're doing all they can right now to fight making it any better.
Yeah. So, and YYR does point out there's a lot of folks in rural communities who are stuck with crappy internet. So that's true. So maybe this, you know, cloud streaming thing won't be for everybody. I just kind of feel like, I don't know. Even
it's a neat experiment. Let's see if it works.
Yeah. Even in rural areas, they have satellite. And yes, that's very expensive. And it's a but you know what? Mobile phones were really expensive for every minute when they first came out. And, you know, now everybody has an iPhone or an Android in their pocket. Almost there. I shouldn't say everybody. But, you know, you're not paying for that technology, which you used to in the mid-90s, which for all intents and purposes was not that long ago. That's kind of where I'm going with this, is that technology is going so fast and it's hard to visualize where it's going to be in 10 years. But like, if you consider the ground we've made in the next 20 years, I don't think it's unreasonable to think that even people in rural communities will get fast internet out of thin air in 20 years, because look at where we've come from 20 years ago to today. I guess that's my point. Bobby Blackwolf points out, excuse me, the budget iPhone XR is $750. Well, that's why people are paying the monthly fees at this point to lease them like they're their cars or something like that. But at the same time, I'm sure many people would say get an Android, and that's fine. I don't like the whole anti-iPhone or anti-Android stuff. I think having both is good. Get a comparable Android device then if you want.
Just,
or iPhone 7 is going to be, you
right.
know, cheaper and cheaper.
Or
at this
I
point,
just like, what
selling.
Am I really getting for that premium price? And that's not just Apple. That's yeah. just like
well, look,
any
look,
phone.
Look,
I mean,
I love my iPhone 10. I really do. I'm not going to buy one of these new phones. It's not enough of an upgrade from what I already have to pay that price. If I was still rocking my iPhone 6 Plus, then maybe I would, you know, which I was last year when I bought the 10, then maybe I would look into that. But anyway, this is not the mobile phone podcast. We have plenty other gaming
right.
stuff to get into. But so would you be open to playing more games through streaming, Loki?
No. Because right. I've tried that even locally through my network to just play games streaming from my PlayStation 4. Although I haven't tried it with the Pro, so I'm not sure if that works any better now. But it has not been a satisfactory experience, and so I will not be doing that in the future.
Yeah.
Although I may try it now with the Pro now that I think of it, because my wife doesn't really watch Netflix all the time. Might work better.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase PEAK.
Well, let me move on to a different type of streaming. So I've talked a lot about Twitch, but of course Mixer is a player out there, and you know Mixer's continuing to do their stuff through Microsoft, and this is, you know, something pretty cool that sets Mixer apart is that you are getting now in-game bonuses for Mixer streams for Forza Horizon 4. No, the game isn't out yet, but the demo is. And so if you stream the demo online, the streamer and the viewer actually get in-game rewards from this. Influence is kind of the scoring, the currency sort of in Forza Horizon. You know, mm-hmm. as you do tricks, you get more influence, you get fans and stuff like that.
Yeah.
One way you can get influence is broadcasting and watching broadcasts through Mixer. That's pretty cool. Now, we have seen, I mean, it isn't brand new to have games influenced by live streams on Twitch and Mixer and other platforms. But, you know, Forza Horizon 4 is a pretty big title, a pretty, you know, big, like, first-party game to get something like this. And I think it's really cool. So anyway, everything has to be linked to your Xbox gamer tag, and you get influence points every 5 minutes that you watch a feed. If you're streaming it, you get every 2 minutes. The game itself, again, is out on September 28th. It will continue this, but the demo that's going on right now is giving you some of like the pre-rewards with this. So, you know, giving more reason to stream and kind of participate together. I think that's really cool. Something that Forza is also doing, Forza Horizon 4, would be James Bond DLC. That's right. There's going to be a Forza Horizon 4 pack that will bring 10 of Bond's iconic cars to the game. We don't know the exact cars yet, but we do know the Best of Bond pack is going to be available when the game comes out. So assuming there will be a
Aston Martin and all this stuff. So, oh no, we do know the list. We don't know the price. So we do know some of them. So we know, of course, Aston Martin, the 1964 DB5 and the 2015 DB10 will be there. The BMW Z8 from The World Is Not Enough will be there as well. So some of the iconic Bond cars will be there. We just don't know the exact price yet. So pretty cool. Yeah, I'm super hyped for Forza Horizon 4. As if I didn't have enough to play right now, but this is here it is. September's here, and now the ramp up to the end of the year begins, where there's going to be stuff like every single week that's going to be something you you want to play. So anyway, going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Ragenator in chat says, I hear that Mixer has been having major growing pains and stability issues to the point where streams have been totally unwatchable. I haven't heard that, but... I haven't used Mixer a lot. I did randomly watch it on my Xbox One the other night. I was watching some of the stuff that Microsoft kind of puts together themselves. They were actually doing a program about World of Warcraft, which I thought was interesting. Hmm. So, I mean, it's not like they're going to cover PlayStation games, but I don't think they're going to ignore that, you know, Nintendo is out there, especially when they've got these Minecraft play together things going on. And, you know, PC. I mean, Microsoft still has a lot to win in the PC space. So it doesn't surprise me that they're talking about World of Warcraft for Windows, right? So, yeah. All right. Anyway, moving on, Loki.
All right. Well, speaking of Microsoft, one of their properties, Alan Wake, is, I guess, expected to become a TV show. So that's different. I haven't actually played Alan Wake. I know a little bit about it, but neat to see that it's actually being turned into that. So I guess it's going to continue off where the story, I guess, ended and take place... in along with, you know, the inhabitants of Bright Falls. They said the story of the original game is our starting point, the seed of which we will expand our bigger story at we're exploring in the show. We'll be expanding the lore of this crazy dark universe and diving deeper into certain aspects of it that than the game ever did. Not only that, but through the years we've worked on multiple game concepts and stories for Alan Wake's world that have never seen the light of day. All of this material will function as a potential source material for the show. Neat.
Yeah, it seems a little late, seeing as this game was 2012. A while ago. I don't know if maybe there'll be a new Alan Wake game or something to kind of go with it. But, I mean, I felt like I was playing a TV show when I played the game. I think it is a game a lot of people slept on. That's really good. It was an episodic game. It was very Twin Peaks-ish, and it even had its whole like show within a show type of thing that was going on. Like, I really would check this out. Why mm-hmm. not? I think it'd be very cool. So, all right. Will you watch the Alan Wake TV show?
Probably not, just because I've never played the game. I mean, I don't know.
You don't need to see the game to play to watch the show.
Maybe. I don't know.
All right. Anyway. Also, talking about streaming with Twitch and Microsoft, finally, a redesigned Twitch app for the Xbox One is on the way. Some people were wondering, were they going to bother, because Microsoft is obviously going in on Mixer quite a bit. But nope, the answer is there are still people that are using Twitch on their Xbox One. Hello, I'm one of them, actually. I use Twitch a lot on my Xbox One. So I'm happy that they're finally updating with the PlayStation 4 version. Right now, it's only part of the Insiders Test Group. So you do have to be in the Insiders Test Group, which I think I'm in, but I don't have this. I think I haven't opted into it yet. I think you have to launch the whole actual like Insider app and then enable it. So maybe that's what I need to do. But some of the things that will be in this will be live video previews so that you can see the live streams while you browse, which the desktop version of this does this automatically, sometimes annoyingly so. Like right when you go to the Twitch front page, you get somebody stream, and let's just hope they're not screaming. You can also see chat on offline videos, which is really cool, especially since, you know, maybe this pre-recorded stream thing is something I'm going to have to do for a little bit until these upload issues get fixed. So the fact that you can do the chat after the fact is pretty cool. And just some improved stability and some additions there on the Twitch app. So it's going to kind of bring it up to parity with the PlayStation 4 version, to which I say good. And I hope they're also future-proofing it by putting the tag system into it and some of that stuff. Yeah. Because the communities are not in the Xbox One version right now, and I don't think it's in the PlayStation 4 version either, and that kind of bothers me because I do like to look in community tags a lot, like Small Streamer, Twitch, Unity, those types of tags. I like to look in those a lot to try to find new people, and you can't do that on the consoles today. So I do hope, you know, we know that those are going away in favor of the tagging system, which is going to be similar. I really hope that the apps will have the tagging stuff built into it. That would make me very happy. Anyhow, a few more stories before we get into the classic game of the week. Loki.
One game I forgot to mention that I did play this week, Pokemon Go. I've been playing quite a bit of that. But you could be playing even more of that in some of these regions throughout the world. Brazil and Korea, they have opened up the ability for players to nominate new Pokestops in those regions, I'm guessing, because there isn't a lot of them there. But apparently they said for level 40 trainers in Brazil and Korea, you'll be able to submit different locations and objects through the app settings menu to actually pin locations that could possibly become Pokestops in the future. And eventually they will open it up wider as they roll it out. I'm assuming kind of like they did with Ingress, where it'll be available for lower level trainers, and then, you know, for more regions, I'm assuming. So this is kind of just a little bit of a test bench. And then right now they're saying, you know, of course, you know, we've seen different sponsored Pokestops, you know, Sprint and Starbucks, but they're hoping that, you know, according to the CEO, we are fostering these moments of discovery and exploration is the foundation of what we do. The world is a big place, and the only way we can find the very best locations for inclusion in our game is with the help of its players.
So, you ready for me to say something that not everybody's going to like? I'm not as an Ingress player, I'm not really a big fan of this at all. Here's the thing. Before you come at me with your pitchfork and torches, I realize that a lot of rural and I'm not trying to be elitist, so please let me explain myself here, because I hate that elitism and stuff, so let me explain why. Ingress is a very player versus player game. It is extremely player versus player, to the point where, like, people on the other team I don't really interact with an awful lot, because if they know where I am, they know the targets I can hit, and it's the same thing with them, because that is how PvP that game is. Those of you playing Pokemon Go, Mystic versus Valor versus Instinct, for all the shit-talking that goes on amongst those teams, that is not PvP. In fact, it's quite the opposite. You need people of the other team to help you out, to knock you out of gyms if you want your 50 coins. Like, if the people are not there to fight you, you're not going to get your own rewards. So this is the reason why I am completely fine with new Pokestops being added into Pokemon Go and only Pokemon Go from the Pokemon Go players. I do not want to see those Pokestops become Ingress portals, because since, you know, and keep in mind, I'm not just a level 16 Ingress player, which is the max. I'm a level 39, which is one level below max Pokemon Go player. If somebody puts a Pokestop on their house, I mean, it doesn't really hurt anything. That's fine. It's a Pokestop, whatever. I mean, some might say game balance, blah, blah, blah. Whatever. It's not as big of a deal as a portal in Ingress going on your house. And now people are going to be, like, attacking, trying to field from it, and they're doing strategic things where it's like, I'm going to manipulate the fuck out of this portal because I live on top of it and I don't even have to, like, travel at all. Because that is already a problem in some regards today, and that problem's only going to get worse if we get shitty Pokestop submissions in Ingress. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So again, and I want to make myself very clear, I am fine if Pokemon Go players create Pokestops that are only in Pokemon Go. But since they're having the Ingress OPR system review these, I'm a little nervous that they're going to cross over into Ingress at some point. Now, the way it is now, I'm still okay with it. Why? Because the Ingress players who understand the PvP, who are not going to allow these portals to go into places where they're going to have, you know, portal battles and so forth going on, they're going to continue to not allow that stuff. And so hopefully that will fix some of the real problem. But if they allow Pokemon players to start doing the review and those things go into Ingress, Ingress is going to be ruined. Mark my words. So, and maybe I'm just being that old codger that fears change.
Ingress 2.0.
Yeah, but that's it's still the same game. So anyway, that's just my take on that. And I'm sure, you know what? Many of you don't give a shit about Ingress. That's cool, but please recognize that I do, and I've made friends through the game. And so, yes, I really
and
do not want to see my game get screwed
right
up.
Now, we don't know how the Harry Potter game is going to play.
No, we don't.
Because if that's very PvP...
Yeah, it very well could be.
Then
you're going to regret some of these decisions yourself, on stops. So. Yeah, you really are. So, anyway...
we'll play, I bet, four-way PvP, too, with that game.
I do think, though... you know, the way they've implemented it now, OPR is already so backlogged. I can access Ingress OPR and I can review portals and stuff. And I have. I've reviewed, actually, I think I have 960 agreements last I checked. So I've reviewed a lot of portals. And so I've seen some of the bullshit people submit. I've seen toilets. I've seen cats. I've seen the picture of somebody's hand saying, I'm just testing this to see if it works. I've seen all the bullshit in there. So, and I've seen some really rad stuff, too. Like, you know, and I've seen stuff in the middle of fucking nowhere that's pretty awesome. I've seen trail markers on places I probably would never go and signboards that explain, like, a vista point in places I'll probably, you know, and that's all rad. And that's the type of stuff I hope to continue to see and all that stuff and, you know, so forth. But anyway, where was I going with all this? Where was the old man
don't
going?
Don't fuck
on this
up
rant?
Our
oh,
shit.
No, it's that they don't really give a lot of incentive for Ingress players to review in OPR, and so I feel like this is just going to backlog an already backlogged system. So
can they get a badge, Joe?
Niantic just needs to probably hire some people to do some of the reviews internally.
And on top of that, I've submitted nice photos for those like Pokestops in the Ingress locations. You know, especially when we have old ass photos on there. And sometimes they get voted up and they're used, but then sometimes like it doesn't seem like that they use the new photos to hold them.
Let me get to some comments in our chat at live.vognetwork.com. Captain Spike from the wonderful Game Buoy podcast says, GameBuoy.org, says, I don't know, though, isn't this mostly about other regions where the community is currently not being served? It feels like this opens the game up to communicate to communities, excuse me, that maybe currently aren't able to participate due to their locations. I realize Ingress isn't as popular. It's available in all these same areas. But sure, I mean, some of these rural, you know, places are probably not as well accounted for. But the system is this way now. But you guys don't think it's going to roll out beyond – it's going to be worldwide at some point. It really is. So, I mean, maybe they'll geofence it so that it's really only rural places. I don't know, but I'm just kind of – I'm kind of worried that it's going to get unleashed on everybody. It's what it is for now. It's a test, but that's kind of what it is.
So they only allowed to submit in those locations,
they're only allowed to submit in Brazil and South Korea.
Limiting
right
it to players in those locations because I could see someone. Oh, hey, I'm a player.
No, it's remember how when the brand new nearby system rolled out, you only saw it in San Francisco in the beginning.
Yes,
because it's like that. It was geofenced in that cell. The Charlie 2, I'm relating it to Ingress. So that geofence was the exact same fence because Davis was included and some of those places. It was the exact same fence that makes up the Charlie 2 cell in Ingress. That was the location you could see the nearby stuff in Pokemon Go. Anyway, cool story. let's see. And Bobby Blackwell says, wasn't it Russia that just got Pokemon Go released this week? Yes, that is true. They just got Pokemon Go finally this week. So anyway... I'm sure not everybody's going to agree with my thoughts, but please try to consider this other game that I have invested a lot of time into. Again, this is all I'm saying. I do not want the Pokemon Go stuff to go back into Ingress. That is it. If the Pokemon Go community wants to add every rock is a Pokestop and everything everywhere, every mailbox is a Pokestop, fine. Go for it. But keep it in that game. Do not bring it to the PvP game that is Ingress. That's what I'm saying. To make that very, very, very clear. All right. Captain Spike says, GameBuoy.org, but I appreciate your concerns, and I'm sure balance issues will arise for a time, but to me this seems like growth that overall should be healthy for all of their IP-based software as having more players keep them going. As long as the submissions are legitimate, yes. But let me tell you the frustration of somebody's fucking tree in their grandma's house front yard being a portal in Ingress. And
or
it is
a fake horse.
It is something that holds down all of these different lights because one team knows that's their grandma's house and that's they can control that as much as they want and it fucks up the balance of the game. Like,
That is a perspective that is very hard for me to explain to a Pokemon Go player. That is how the balance of the game can be very fucked up if anything and everything becomes a Pokestop. Absolutely, I want more rural players to have all their Pokestops. I really do. And I want rural players to have Ingress portals. I do. I want them to be legitimate. Every park should be littered with this shit. I'm so for that. Historical sites, public access. Yes, I'm all for that stuff. Residential property, fuck no. That's my concern. Hopefully that makes sense.
I have a pretty particular looking tree, perhaps.
All you have to do is put googly eyes on it, Loki.
I'm going to.
It only took us like 3 fucking years to get that portal removed in Ingress. That story
was that true.
Was,
googly
that
eyes.
That was a true fucking story that I just explained. Anyway, let's move on. I got one more story for you guys, and it has to do with breaking the law. Breaking the law. EA is breaking the law. No, legit. They are.
Yeah, I know.
In Belgium, here's the deal. We know the Belgian government, because we heard about this with Overwatch, because they had to change the system and so forth. Belgium declared loot boxes to be a form of gambling. Well, EA has come out with FIFA 19, just came out recently, and just basically said, we are not going to change the pack. EA did not modify FIFA's randomized card pack loot boxes. EA says that the games were developed and implemented ethically and lawfully around the world. They do not agree that the games are considered as any form of gambling. Basically,
we're making too much fucking money from this, and your little pitiful fines are going to stop us from making all of the money.
EA is doing something that I feel, in my opinion, the president does on Twitter all the time. If I say something enough, it'll be true. So I mean, that's what's happening, right? EA is saying it's not gambling. It's not gambling. It's not. That's their defense. If EA says it enough, maybe it'll be true. Just like it's not collusion. It's not collusion. Right? It's a similar thing. If I say it enough, maybe it'll be true. I'm going to get hate mail for that one, but deal with it. but the reality is, at the end of the day, you are selling a product in this country. And if you're not following the country's rules, they're going to pursue and kick you out, basically, of being able to sell games in the country, possibly fine you because you've been making money off the citizens.
I hope they fine them a lot.
Stuff.
Well, a whole bunch.
What's happening is that the Belgian government has launched according to reports, has launched a criminal investigation into EA because they have not modified the system. This is according to the Metro publication. It's a publication in Belgium. They are being subject to a criminal investigation by the Brussels Public Prosecutor's Office. The case will go to court if they choose to prosecute. So
Finland is also looking into these loot boxes as well. So more countries will hopefully jump on board.
So
it's terrible. Like, seriously, like, I don't play a lot of these sports games that these are still in because they're not taking them out of the sports games. They may take them out of Star Wars and out of Battlefield and stuff like that. But you got to understand that this Ultimate Team shit, they're making bank off of this shit. They're making so much bank that they're not going to fucking compromise that.
When my Xbox account got stolen on my Xbox 360, and it was like 10 years ago and I still haven't gotten over it, the thief used my card to buy a bunch of FIFA shit. That this stuff is huge around the world, even if it's not as big in the U.S., so it's a little harder to picture. I know some people are into it, certainly here in the U.S., but it's not, you know, it's not Fortnite. But in other countries, FIFA is the game.
But like NBA 2K19, for example, they totally different company, same shit. They're having, like, the game is just, like, so pay to win, even. Like, you buy the collector's edition, you get 100,000 of, it's even called virtual currency because they couldn't think of an intelligent name for it, virtual currency. Mm-hmm. You get 100,000 of it to help build your stats of your character in the game to be a better player. Otherwise, you got to grind through the game. And they're like, oh, it's player choice. This way, you know, you don't have to grind as hard and stuff. But the problem is, you built the fucking grind into the game in the first place. You're not helping people. You're creating the problem and then also creating the solution for the problem that costs money. But people will pay it because, I don't know. It's the same reason why people will pay $1,200 for a phone.
Well, you can imagine social media has lit up about this, and pretty much most of what people are saying about EA, they're basically saying to Belgium, they're saying, yes, drag her, expose her, arrest her. That's basically what social media is saying to EA. Like, drag them, get them. Because I think most people have just had it with loot box shit. They've just had it with loot box shit, and, you know, they want to see EA have to answer for it.
If you want to make these games free to play, make FIFA, you know, a free to play game that you can just go download for free. Hey, FIFA 19, look, it's a free game, go download it. NBA 2K 19, it's a free game, go download it, and they have loot boxes in it. I have no fucking problem with that.
I'm just surprised EA had a year to think about how to make these Buku Bucks instead of the loot boxes, and they kind of failed to do it, and so now they're just sticking to their guns. And I really think EA is going to get kicked out of Belgium for this. Like, I think this is where this ends. EA products will be banned in Belgium.
And I don't think they'll fucking care, because they're just going to lose.
It's just Belgium.
They're going to lose less money. Just, they're like, whatever.
Sorry. You know what's sad? I know we have listeners in Belgium that listen to this show. And I just want to say, even if EA doesn't appreciate you, I appreciate you. Okay? And your chocolate. And your waffle. And your and all the stereotypes.
It's a calculated risk. They understand what they're making from this. They don't want to give any of that up, because it's tons of fucking money for doing essentially nothing. And that's what they're going to do. They're going to play this out, because what's the worst that's going to happen? They're going to maybe have to pay a small fine, and maybe they can't sell
the
game.
Oh, no. The Twitter says they're going to arrest the CEO. He's going to rot in Belgium jail.
As much as I would love to see that, that's never going to happen.
You see, drag her, expose her. Say it, Logie. Drag her, expose her.
Drag her, expose her. It's never going to fucking happen. We can't arrest people over here for, like, actual crimes and get them to jail. I mean, it's never going to fucking happen.
All right. Anyway, on that note, let's go to a time when, you know, video games were for everybody, including people in Belgium. Let's go to the classic game of the week, or as it is, the classic peripheral of the month. Y'all know we use Radio Magic to make this happen and get Dark Sakura with us here every week on the show. But I do want to let you know, just due to us being unexpectedly off last week, see, we had calibrated our Radio Magic to work last week, and unfortunately, due to an error in the space-time, you know what? Fuck it. The real story is we recorded it last week, so you have to hear it this week. So if you hear some things that are a little bit out of sync, that's why. That being said, Radio Magic. So let's take a trip through space and time to visit with Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Oh, hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay.
I feel like it's been a while between our week off and the mess up a couple weeks ago. It's been a little while.
Yeah, a bit.
Can you tell us quickly in 15 seconds, what have you been doing in the past 3 weeks?
Playing WoW.
Okay, that about sums it up.
Going to work, being sick, playing pinball. We have a Theater of Magic.
Oh, congrats on that.
And it was the first time I've arranged a pinball purchase myself.
Oh.
From ground up.
She's a businesswoman.
Dan was very proud of me. It has nothing wrong with it. He's like, I don't know what to do with the machine I don't have to work on.
Play it?
So it's going to make me broke for the month. But.
Real quick, because I know it's going to come up on OLR tonight. I don't even know if you know this yet. Did you hear about the Bally Williams license? It was announced that the creators of Zen Pinball actually have that. So it's going to come to Pinball FX3, even though it was in the Farsight Studios game, the Pinball Arcade. So it was kind of surprising that... it's like surprising but not surprising.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, I played. They have what's the table you can play right now? Because I just played it earlier this week. The fishing something real fish, real fishing something like that.
I don't know.
Yeah. I also played the Getaway.
I'm just thinking of Fishtails.
That might be
which
it.
Which was an older one.
It was like from the 90s.
Yeah, we have the Getaway.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. That's you can play that one too. Anyway.
No, I mean literally, I have that machine, that table.
Yeah, I think I remember playing it at your house. So you have to play the Pinball FX one and see how it compares. But anyway, I mean, we've been talking about all sorts of news tonight. We got to get into the classic game of the week. That's what you're here to do, is to school us.
Not a game.
Oh, what a twist. Oh, yeah, we're a little behind. We got to catch
it's
up on some
peripherals.
So because
we're on September now. I did August.
Did we do August?
Yeah, I think I did the Dance Pets.
I don't know. I think because of the work snafu, I think this might actually be August thing. I will look up what month we're doing, and you can talk about what we're going to talk about. So what is the classic peripheral for the month, whatever it is?
The Sega 3D glasses. which I felt inspired to do. Wink, 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 wink. Anyway.
It might be a suggestion because I knew I was going to talk about VR tonight because I got to play Bobby's Dragon Con.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a little hint. So this is 1980s VR.
Yes. They were also known as the Stegoscope 3D glasses.
It's
and in
really
Brazil,
VR.
They were called Oculus 3D. Rob?
Oh, Oculus.
Oculus.
Oculus Rift. Roft.
And in Argentina, they were, I'm going to mispronounce this, Anteojos 3D?
Anteojos.
Anteojos. Okay.
Ojo is an eye, if I remember right. If I remember my Spanish from high school, I think ojos are your
eyes. A-N-T-E-O-J-O-S.
Okay.
Okay. But anyway, these were for the Sega Master System, and they would create an illusion of 3D graphics. In some games, they were invented by the guy who did Marble Madness, Mark Cerny. They use a shutter system to close the left and right lenses rapidly to create a 3D effect. The Master System glasses can only be used with the original Sega Master System since it hooks up to the card port that does not exist on the Master System 2. It allows 3D graphics in full color, although it halves the frame weight because of the shutters, and it can also produce a flicker. It also does not work very well with non-CRT televisions. They came out first in the UK in October 1987 for £39.95. North American release came out later that year. 3D glasses were also released in Japan November 1987. And they were bundled with Zaxxon 3D. And then in Brazil and South Korea in 1989. Now, keep in mind, I guess, for Brazil, you know, because the Master System is still strong in Brazil, it's a thing. But the games that it's compatible with is Blade Eagle, Line of Fire for Master System, of course, Maze Hunter 3D, Missile Defense 3D, Outrun 3D, Poseidon Wars 3D, Space Harrier 3D, and Zaxxon 3D. We have a pair. I think we now have a TV that it works with. But they're kind of like those big 80s. They look like the overglasses that you wear over, like, prescription glasses. But they're pretty cool. But yeah, that's the thing. It is the glasses. That's really all I can say about it, because it didn't really do for many games. But you get kind of this blinking effect on the screen because they're going to try to combine it. It's almost the same way, I think, that it works on the kind of the lenticular style, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like the 3DS does.
Yeah. I think that with the shutters, I see a lot of 3D TVs, I think, kind of use that same type of stuff now. Because mm-hmm. I have a TV with 3D glasses that uses the shutter. But it's all obviously the technology is very advanced, so it's just kind of faster. You get the full frames and everything.
But when you're looking at the screen, though, without the glasses.
Yeah, it's a little funny because you have one of... But actually, what I was noticing, you can stare at the screen like it's one of those stereo pictures. You know what I'm talking about?
Magic
like,
Eye.
Can you see the whale or whatever it was
the
in
sailboat.
Mallrats? Sailboat, yeah.
It's more of a schooner.
But you can see... It kind of hurts your eyes to do it for a while, but like watching... because oh my gosh, y'all, we're using YouTubes. But watching this guy play on YouTube, like if I stare just right, I can see it in the 3D. So it's kind of neat. No glasses needed, but it kind of hurts my eyes.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to, like, you know how, like, they always say, your face will freeze that way. Keep making that face. Well, I feel like my eyes are going to freeze.
It's like when I would save my 3D Animal Crossing screenshots, they were actually two pictures.
Yes.
So it's the same effect.
It's magic.
Yes, it is.
There it is. All right.
So, yeah, there you go.
There it is. Your classic peripheral of the month for September. Confirmed. August was the sewing machine.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
The sewing machine.
My gosh, time flies. Anyway, there it is. The classic peripheral of the month. The Stegoscope 3D glasses. We have a little extra time here for the segment since that didn't take you very long. Mm-hmm. What else should we talk about? How's WoW been treating you? If your journey back.
I'm doing the Argus content because I kind of stopped playing for a little bit when that came out. So I'm really enjoying it because it's all, you know, space elf demon husband.
Right.
Because I'm an Illidan fangirl.
Mm-hmm.
So I've really been enjoying it. I'm really enjoying the story. It's cool seeing Ilaria back.
Are you playing with the Game Boy boys or like kind of being a loner?
The
or?
Only person who I've seen on was Spike.
Okay.
So...
That Spike gets around because I saw him in Overwatch the other day too, so...
I got a cappuccino today that they put an Overwatch symbol on in cocoa.
What?
It was at this comic book store
downtown.
Oh,
yeah, I know that place. The yes,
I think it's Overwatch. Keep in mind, I've played Overwatch twice.
The number one gaming podcast in town does stuff with that play, so I'm not surprised at all because I know they're big Overwatch fans over there.
Number one, like P?
No, we're fans of everybody. We just have to be a little, you know.
I'm a shady fan.
Yeah. But anyway, in all seriousness, I know what place you're talking about. Yeah, yeah. So that's really cute. I like that. Yeah.
So I had an Overwatch cappuccino, and then I saw The Little Mermaid at the Crest Theater, and it was fun.
That's fun. You know what you didn't see? It makes me sad. You did not see the Mass Effect voice actors panel that I did at Dragon Con, and you need to. You need. I really, really.
I'm bitter like bad coffee, Rob.
I really, really, really want to get Courtney Taylor on the show. She did the voice of Jack. She's got this great chair. I'll give it a shot. You know, I'm gonna give this a shout out for free because I love what she's doing. I know her, and I think it's Mary Elizabeth McGlynn put on this Nerds Vote. So they're trying. They go to conventions and they register nerds to vote. You know, because it's all about getting people. They're not partisan. They're not going to tell you to register one way or the other. They're just going to make sure you get registered because. Voting is like really important.
I'll tell you who to vote for. Not right now, though.
I know you will. You reach out on Twitter and you'll happily say. But I'm pretty sure if you did reach out to these people, they would have their own opinions too. However, we put all that aside to just get people registered so that their voices can be heard. Just like
Speaking
Mr. Smush's
voices.
Voice is so loud right now, he's probably picking up on the microphone. He's very upset about
Hi,
something.
Smoothie.
All right. Anyway,
he got boob perching time, so I think he's happy.
Which, by the way, if you guys don't know, Mr. Smush will hang out. Like, Mr. Smush, you know, is usually not the pickup type of cat. I can't pick him up. Alan can't pick him up. But Jamie can pick up Mr. Smush because Jamie has a certain pair
of boobs.
Yes, she has boobs.
And triple Ds.
Apparently,
he can stand on them.
Mr. Smush is very clearly a straight cat because he loves the boobs. Well, I mean, come on,
even gay men like boobs.
I know. I was going to say, actually, I know a lot of gay men that love boobs. But he's, you know, very... he's very attached to your breasts.
I'm a little, though, angry with myself speaking of gay things.
Okay.
Because I have something for you at my house.
Uh-huh.
I got unicorn cereal.
I've
the
heard
Kellogg's
of this.
Unicorn cereal.
You sent me the text yesterday. It looks
yes,
hilarious.
It's on my table. I didn't go back home or I would have brought it.
What do unicorns taste like?
Rainbows and sheet cakes.
I played a unicorn card game today.
Really?
And I already forgot the name of
it. Is it exploding?
It's the exploding kittens, but the unicorn game.
It's like farting unicorns or
no,
something?
No, it's a magical unicorns or something. I don't remember. Mm. But I won. It was fun.
Well, I want to do a giveaway on the show. I haven't decided what, but how to do it, but I know what I'm going to give.
There's always that point system on Vogue for checking in. We haven't done a giveaway on there forever.
I'm going to do a glitter pack from Cards Against Humanity.
Oh, you're going to actually send...
I have five of them, and I'll give one to a listener if... They don't suck.
Okay. Well, do you want them to tweet you or how do you want to do that?
I'll figure it out. Okay. Just know that it's coming.
Stay tuned for next week when Jamie like figures it out. All right. Anyway.
Mail the mailbox and make Rob check it. He'll tell me.
Participate at orangelounsradio.com. Okay.
I also brought Rob candy.
We're here to wrap up the classic game of the week. So the Sega 3D glasses.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Any last thoughts before we get back to the main show?
I want Chinese food. That's it.
Thank you, Jamie, for the segment. We miss having her here live in studio, but I think she's going to be here at the end of the month. While she's still, you know, again, if you are not already aware, even though we said this on a show a million times, she has a conflict with her, you know, paying day job schedule. Unfortunately, she has to work Sundays right now, so she can't be with us during the live shows. So we're trying to at least still include her through the magic of radio with her Classic Game of the Week segment. And then hopefully we'll, you know, be able to have her here at least once a month. I know that's her plan. Anyhow, let's get back into the show. And we've still got a lot of news to come. We're running pretty long tonight, so we're going to try to catch up here a little bit, but we do still want to have plenty of time to take your calls. Orange Lounge Radio on Skype a little later in the show. Also, just a couple of quick things because it was asked about, you know, because obviously this whole announcement about the Twitch move eventually has, you know, caused a lot of chat, which, by the way, one way I also kind of explain this to somebody that I think may help you kind of understand where this is coming from, you know, and why we're making a move like this. Just think about this. How many Shoutcast streams have you searched for to listen to in the past month versus how many Twitch streams have you looked for? And maybe the answer for you in particular is zero, but ask about 10 or 20 of your nerd friends that same question, and I think you'll completely like
it. Hey, what's Shoutcast?
What's that?
What's Shoutcast?
I know, right? Or are we talking about commentating over video games? Because that's what they call that now. You know, one of Bobby's panels was about shoutcasting, but it was not the software. It was that's what they call commentating over video games. So that was actually a really fascinating panel, by the way. I wish some of those would be online for you to listen to later. But I guess this is part of the reason you have to be there. Anyhow, Fifth Dream says, I forgot. Will VOG still be on TuneIn? No. When this goes into effect, the goal is that will be sunsetted, actually, because TuneIn is simply a shoutcast directory, basically, for that, and that will be sunsetted. So that is part of the change that's going to be coming into play here. But then what else did I want to say there with the questions and so forth that we were getting? There was something else, so I guess I'll think of it later. In the meantime, let's get into some rapid fire news. It was the Skype. Real quick, Skype will still be what you use to call into the show. Will we be able to show your video out on the video? Hypothetically, yes. I can't guarantee that's going to be in place day one, but that is, let me say, the goal is to continue to take calls on Skype just as we always have been. At least for now. In all honesty, I'm aware a lot of Twitch people use Discord to take their calls. It's something in the back of my mind, but one big change at a time is enough. Let's try to keep everything else normal for now. All right, let's move on. Some rapid fire news, Loki.
Yeah, so Metro Exodus has been delayed to 2019. Which is kind of weird because I thought it was coming out in 2019. I was unaware that it was actually scheduled for this year, but apparently it is going to be delayed. The development of Metro Exodus is progressing well. We are really excited by what we're seeing. We have constantly reviewing the game's progress to ensure that we deliver a product that gamers and fans of the Metro series want and deserve, and as well as keeping an eye on announcements from our competitor products.
It ain't finished. Just right. Put out a 3-word press release. It ain't finished.
It's ambitious. We need more time. So Q1 2019.
We don't want this game to turn out like Mass Effect Andromeda.
So,
which had already been delayed several times.
We will just have to wait a little longer.
All right.
And then something else that's going to be coming out on PlayStation VR is Space Channel 5. They have a version that's going to be coming out on PlayStation VR as well as the HTC Vive. No details yet on when we can expect that. But apparently they've had a VR version in the arcades in Japan for a while now. And I think that the game is supposed to be, I don't know if it follows the exact, you know, format as the first game, but basically, you know, same premise and everything, fighting aliens and stuff like that, rhythm game. I'll definitely check it out when it comes out over here, whenever that is. Guess we'll just have to wait and see.
All right. Well, let's move on. So you remember it was on the last episode of OLR before we took the break here, but we talked about how The Last Remnant was going to be delisted from the Xbox.
Ah, yes.
Or as you know, it was delisted from Steam. I don't think the Xbox, we never really got a definitive answer on that, but we know the physical edition is available. Well, I think we figured out why, because The Last Remnant Remastered is on its way for the PlayStation 4. That is something that they announced this week. I don't know, though. Is this something that, like, we need, Loki? Is this a game that needs to be remastered? I don't know.
No, not really. But, hell, they're remastering all the other games, so why not?
Yeah, why not, right? So, anyway.
I can't think of anything to make. Let's just remaster some old shit.
This will be a PlayStation 4 exclusive, and it's going to be out worldwide on December 6th, and I believe it is only something you can download. It's not going to be something you can go buy in a store. So, check that out, I suppose, if that's something that you're into.
Neat.
Also, a follow-up on a game we talked about a long time ago on this show. You'd have to go all the way back to episode 571 when we had the developer of Time Spinner on this game, on this show. Yeah, you remember Time Spinner? Time Spinner finally announced that its date for PlayStation 4, Vita, and PC, it is finally coming out, which is great news. They were announced for, I think, I'm trying to find the date that was actually announced here. Because we started seeing some of the trailers and stuff. There it is. Thank you. September 25th is the day that this will be out. Obviously, that was a while ago that we did in this interview, so I know this game's been in development for a while, but I think, so we had Bodhi, the guy who is behind it, on the show, and it's like, it's him. And he's contracted a few of the things out, I think. But for the most part, it's him developing the game. So, you know, it's been taking time because it's a lot of work for one person. So it's great to see that it's finally on its way to being done. And he'll get to see everybody hopefully really enjoy this game. It looks great. Like, as far as, like, the pixel art and everything, it really looks gorgeous. So really happy for Bodhi. Can't wait to play it myself when this is out on September 25th. You know, we actually, after that interview, we had lunch once, or lunch or dinner when I was up in Seattle once. It's great. Really nice guy. So very happy for his success. Hope he does very well with Time Spinner. I'll have to see if he can come back on the show once the game is released. I think that would be a lot of fun. All right, let's see what's going to be out a little sooner, though, than September 25th, as in next week, as we travel around the world and check out what's coming out in stores.
Yes, we've got The Bard's Tale 4, Barrows Deep, coming out on PC, Mac, and Linux.
Not Balls Deep, but Barrows Deep.
Barrows Deep.
Barrows Deep.
The Capcom Beat 'em Up Bundle, that's coming out on PC, Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Labyrinth of Refrain, Coven of Dusk on PC to the Switch and PlayStation 4. Legendary Fishing on the Switch. Mutant Football League Dynasty Edition on the Switch. Scribblenauts Mega Pack on the Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Undertale on the Switch. Cross Code on PC, Mac, and Linux. Star Control Origins. I'll have to check that out. I haven't played a Star Control game in a while. That's on PC. Steins Gate 8-bit and Steins Gate Elite. And Steins Gate Linear Bound Phenogram. Those are coming out. The first two on Nintendo Switch, as well as Elites on PlayStation 4 and the Vita. And finally, Linear Bounded Phenogram on PlayStation 4. Broken Sword 5, The Serpent's Curse on the Switch, The Banner Saga Trilogy on Nintendo Switch, and finally, Xenoblade Chronicles 2, Torna, The Golden Country on the Nintendo Switch, and that's it.
Let's travel over to Japan and look at the releases there. Over on the PlayStation 4, Steins Gate Elite is out this week in a regular and a limited edition. F1 2018 from Ubisoft is out this week in Japan, getting its Japanese release this week. And then there's an Atelier trilogy that is making its way out on the PlayStation 4. So Rorona, Totori, and Maruru are all out this week on the PlayStation 4. And if the individual releases are not good enough for you, then pick up the premium box that has all of them. And that is available on the PlayStation 4 this week. Quickly looking at other consoles, such as the Switch, that Steins Gate is also released in Japan this week, as well as a game called Nil Admirari no Tenben Irodori Narishiko comes out this week from Idea Factory, and that same Atelier Trilogy is also on the Nintendo Switch, same way with the box set if you want. One more game on the Switch this week, Daisen Ryaku Perfect 4.0 is out this week. So that is a that's another one of those strategy games with tanks and planes, and you know we love those war sim strategy games. So
who
there's
doesn't love tanks and planes?
Who doesn't love tanks and planes and blowing them up? So you can do that on the Switch this week. Loki, how about the UK with Dark Soccer being out?
We got Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Wildlands Year 2 Gold Edition. Come on, Year 2 Gold Edition? You can't fucking do that shit.
So now it's just game of the year and game of the next year.
Hey, we're game of the year twice in a row. You can't fucking, whatever. I guess they can make their own rules up. That's coming out on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Fishing Sim World on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Candle, The Power of the Flame. That's on PlayStation 4 and the Switch. Little Dragon's Cafe on the PlayStation 4 and the Switch. Broken Sword 5, The Serpent's Curse, also on the Switch. The Banner Saga Trilogy on the Switch. 428 Shibuya Scramble on PlayStation 4. And that's it.
Okay. Let's get to the emails. Every week, you guys email us, participate at orangelaundry.com, and we read some of our favorites here on the show. And as you can... Ooh, excuse me, hiccups. As you can imagine, We have a little bit of a backlog because we haven't been here for a bit. So I've got some old emails. I got some dusty ass emails to read for you tonight, but they're all good and they deserve their attention. So if you want to email us something new and modern and sleek, you can participate at orangeloungeradio.com. So this email is from September 5th. I'm going to tell you what day they're from because some of the news and things may have changed. These emails are getting old at this point. So, but you know, nobody knew that we wouldn't have a show last week. So anyway, this email from September 5th is from Frodo Swaggins, who says, Frodo Swaggins here. I'll keep it short and sweet. Damn, it sucks there was no show over Labor Day weekend. I could have finally been in the live chat room because I had time off work. Frowny face, but that's okay. Dragon Con must have been a blast. Spoiler alert, it was. Hope you and Bobby had a good old time. Spoiler alert, we did. Finally, you should totally get that Julian kid back on the show. I think that was his name. That was quite entertaining. Yes, that was Jamie's BFF Becky. That is her kid, Julian. And it's been about a year, right? So we might stand to have a check-in with Julian at some point. See what he's playing now. Anyway, that was quite entertaining. A fucking fish rod controller? That was something that he had exclaimed on that I believe. Rob, wear a diaper next time he comes on because you were losing your shit. Well, that kids are funny, which made me lose my shit because your laugh is contagious. Thank you. Anyway, miss you, Jamie Summers. Loki, keep up the Nintendo rants. Well, hope you were satisfied tonight. And Rob, you should totally stream more. Fist bump. I'm trying, buddy. I'm trying. If all my issues are not miraculously cured when Comcast comes out for the second time on Tuesday, you can expect I'll probably do some more video on demand stuff. So, I mean, I did one video pre-recorded today, so you can check that out on my channel over at Rob Roberts. So if you want to see me lamenting about internet issues while I play World of Warcraft, you can see that. And I might do more of that if I have to. Let's get to an email from Robert M. on Friday, August 31st. So this would have been while I was away at Dragon Con. So Robert M. says, it's only tangentially related to gaming, which I assume his voice in the soon-to-be-available Spider-Man game. Spoiler alert, it's out. That game was released, and apparently it's really good.
It is, and I've been on the fence buying it because I buy a lot of games and I don't end up playing them. And they're like, I buy good games and don't end up playing them. Yeah. Like, that's why I didn't buy God of War, and that's why I haven't bought Spider-Man yet, although I am on the fence. It looks pretty good.
The only thing for me is that I don't get as into the comic book stuff as other people do. I'm not a hater. I just don't, like, I don't have that
same
fandom.
I don't think you necessarily need to be a fan of that.
Yeah, I'm hearing it's basically Arkham Asylum and those games, but Spider-Man. And I love those Batman games.
There's a lot of, like,
the
costumes you can unlock and stuff through the game. Yeah. You can unlock a bunch of stuff in the comics, but I don't think you necessarily need to be, like, a super fan of Spider-Man to enjoy it.
Yeah, no, you really don't. So, I mean, here, honestly, this is what did it. It came out the same day as Dragon Quest XI. And I'm looking at him going, I already am terrible about finishing games, and Dragon Quest XI is going to be a 100-hour game. That's what I believe it's quoted as. So the main quest is somewhere around, like, 100 hours. So, you know, that kind of made my decision for me. But with as much love as Spider-Man's getting and everything that's being shared out there and all the people streaming it and stuff, I'm tempted. I'm tempted. Anyway, let's see. The soon-to-be-available Spider-Man game. Oh, yes. But I have been wondering for a while, who is the Stan Lee of Detective Comics? I'm not trying to overlook Jack Kirby's importance to Marvel, of course, and one could very well say Stan Lee is literally the Stan Lee of Detective Comics, since he has apparently worked with DC, but that's probably not what I'm asking. Is there a Bob Kane / Bill Finger, a Jerry Siegel / you can tell my comic book knowledge is not very good, / Joel Schuster, who has that level of prominence, or is that indicative of the studio's problems?
Well, if my only basis on that is with the Lego games, and I don't their equivalent of what, because Stan Lee was like the, you know, collectible guy that was in all of the, you know, Lego Marvel games, and then the DC side it was Adam West, so that doesn't really work now. I don't really think there is anybody that's kind of like that, but then again, I'm not a huge DC fan, so fuck if I know. That DC side's all fucking mess right now, at least in the, like, entertainment world. It's just kind of, they don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Okay, so thank God to having a chat room that can help me out here, because I don't know a lot about comics. Fifth Dream in chat says, DC doesn't have that face. Ironically, closest thing is another Lee, Jim. And Captain Spike agrees with that. I was going to say Jim Lee. Captain Spike also saying, I'm trying to play Spidey and Dragon Quest XI. Both amazing games paired with WoW. I'm so game ADD right now. You know, hashtag the struggle. Tiger Claw says there's a Stan Lee cameo in Spider-Man. Of course there is. Of course there is. So there you go. You know, speaking of Matt, here's how I can tie it in.
There was a Stan Lee cameo in the Teen Titans Go movie.
There's a Stan Lee cameo and everything.
And it was hilarious.
All right. There's going to be a Stan Lee cameo on this show, hopefully, before it ends. All right. So here's the thing. Here's the thing. One thing I can talk about is the video game stuff. And what about, like, faces of companies? Because, like, with Nintendo, you've got, like, you know, obviously a Miyamoto, Reggie Fils-Aimé. You know, when why many people were so affected when Iwata passed, as he was really, you know, the face when it came to the directs and so forth. And they have Nintendo has a new president now. That was him in that direct, wasn't it? That led that direct. That was the new Nintendo president, wasn't it?
I don't know.
It looked like him. I didn't. The problem is I didn't catch the very, very beginning. Maybe somebody else can correct me.
I missed the beginning as well.
Yeah. But anyway, oh, yes, thank you. Bobby Blackwolf just confirmed it was the new president. Because I remember they had picked a younger guy, and, you know, so that was him. So anyway, so, you know, Nintendo kind of has their faces. Microsoft has, like, I don't know, like Major Nelson, especially when it comes to, like, social media. It's kind of like the face of Microsoft. What does Sony have?
Ridge Racer.
I guess, like...
It's Ridge Racer.
There's the whole PlayStation blog folks, you know. There's a variety. There's a whole variety. There's people there, you know. They kind of, you know, I don't know. Like, you see them at E3, but they're, you know, they got the stuff that they have online.
They had
their own
a fun
show,
parody account, but then that's gone.
Yeah.
So what do they have left? Nothing.
I don't know. Like, it's just, I don't know. It doesn't feel the same.
You
maybe
see,
because
the
it's not one person. It's a team.
You have
people.
To understand that the PlayStation brand is so strong. They don't need representatives like that to help bolster, you know, the appearance of the PlayStation brand. The PlayStation brand is just it's its own spokesperson.
Right.
But that being said, though, the best spokesperson that they had was the fake CEO or whatever.
Kazurai?
No, the vice president. The fake vice president guy that was, he was an actor. It was,
oh,
I forget his name, but
it's
fucking awesome. This just made him the real vice president because he's fucking
Kevin
amazing.
Butler is Bobby
Yes, Kevin Butler.
Chat.
Long
yes.
live Kevin Butler.
Let's see. Sony has David Jaffe, says Bobby Blackwolf. I don't know if that's the same thing, though. Anyway, I guess it doesn't really matter. I'm just getting curious. Video games kind of have their faces, too. All right, let's get to an email from the day before the canceled show, so September 8th. And this is from YYR, who says, Hello, LR. By the time you read this, I'll finally have caught up on the episodes I missed while we had a newborn. Well, babies are important. But of course, I had to email about some things you probably forgot about already. During Rapid Fire News in early August...
I can't remember last week.
Here's the email where we get called out on all the shit we did wrong over the
Guys,
past
three Guys, in months. Episode 2, you...
I have the following list of problematic incidents from the past. I'm teasing YYR. We love YYR.
We'll allow it.
Yeah, we're only allowing it because it's YYR. All right. During Rapid Fire News... sorry, Bobby Blackwell says, this is an airing of grievances. All right.
No, you're wrong. That's an errand of grievances.
All right. Here comes YYR. During Rapid Fire News in early August, Loki expressed enthusiasm at the success of indie 3D platformer A Hat in Time and said he was looking forward to trying it himself. Before that happens, I want to make sure you're aware of some issues with the people behind the game. Oh, shit. This really is about problematic stuff. Uh-oh.
I don't fucking care.
That'll teach me to make a joke before I read the rest
of
the
email. All right. Let's go.
Let's hear about it. All right.
Let's hear it.
First of all, you may remember someone by the name of John Jafari, or perhaps you know him by his nickname, JonTron.
Oh, I've heard of it.
I already know where this is going now. If you need a refresher, he's a popular YouTube personality, and early last year there was a bit of an uproar when he went on several openly racist rants. You may also remember that indie platformer Yooka-Laylee had cast JonTron to deliver some voice work for the game.
Uh-huh.
Following his racist rants and the outcry that followed, the Yooka-Laylee developers did the right thing and scrubbed JonTron's voice from the game. Guess what? JonTron also did voice work for A Hat in Time. You'd expect that the folks in charge of this game would have done the right thing, but not only did they not remove his voice, they never even offered a statement regarding JonTron as racist.
racist behavior or their decision to keep his voice in their game. I interpret this as an acceptance or perhaps even an endorsement of this behavior by the game's lead developers. If this wasn't enough, you should also know that the lead game designer was previously involved in a dispute with a former colleague. When the dispute was not resolved to their liking, they decided to create a slander website for the purpose of doxing this person, prominently featuring their personal contact information. Now, I'm sure that many other people contributed a lot of hard work to this game. Artists, musicians, other voice actors, programmers, designers, and so forth. But it's likely that they've already been paid for their work. And then when you buy a copy of this game, the money is going to the people at the top of it. Exactly the people who I don't want to give my money to. So I will never buy it. I will never play it. I've been trying my best to spread the word about it. And I encourage potential buyers to take their money somewhere elsewhere instead. Let me ask you a tricky question, because the rest of his email gets another point. Why is Mr. Smoosh jumping up on the table like he's going to jump up on Loki's little mini table there that he uses with his laptop?
Maybe he will.
Maybe he will. All right, let's see what happens. I think he might do
it. No, he's like, fuck that.
All right, I'm sorry. Sorry, my cat is far more interesting than fucking racist assholes on the internet. Anyway, okay, so Loki, let me ask you this question. Is it then acceptable to steal the game under these circumstances? Is piracy justified in this case? No, don't answer that. Don't answer. That's a slippery slope. I don't want to go down.
Don't answer it. It's the same reason, like, you know, I'm still going to watch, like, Mission Impossible, even though I don't endorse, you know, Scientology or anything like that. When can I, like, draw the line between the people that make the content and the content itself? Like, when can I just say, I just want to enjoy the content without the drama behind the content? Like, I don't need to know the personal backgrounds of all these people.
Which is why you said you were interested in the game in the first place, because you had no idea about any of this stuff. You're just like, oh, this looks neat.
Exactly. Like, yeah. I don't need to know the resumes of all the people that fucking worked at the country and all the, or the company and all the bad shit that they did.
There's
enough bad shit out there.
There is a lot of bad shit out here. And like, it's like, I totally kind of get what YYR is saying. Like, now that I'm hearing all this, I'm like, well, I didn't know much about this game.
Well,
and now I don't really want to.
Well, you're probably in luck, because I'm going to be probably too lazy to buy it anyway, unless it comes in a Humble Bundle sale or something like that. So it's fine. I probably won't end up actually playing it. I just said it looked neat. Like, I saw it actually was on sale this week, and I was like, yeah, not sale enough. So I didn't end up purchasing it, but it still looks neat. But once again, it's a neat game that I'm not going to have time to play anyway. So, you know, there's a lot of other neat games that come out before that. It's like, you know, Spider-Man. Red Dead Redemption right around the fucking corner. Like, Jesus Christ, never going to have time to play any of these games.
Can everybody just try harder to not be an asshole? Like, do you know how easy it is to not say racist things? It's really easy. Don't say them. You just don't say them.
But then I have to stop taking my Ambien.
No, Loki, that's not how it works.
No, it does. Oh,
Ambien does
I'm
not
so
make
confused.
You racist. Ambien does not make you racist, contrary to what some, you know, former entertainers from yesteryear will try to tell you. Can't people in general just, like, not be racist? Like, it's really easy to not be racist. You just don't be racist.
And don't commit sexual assault.
Don't rape. I mean, I know we don't teach people this. What we do teach people is how to avoid being raped. But what we should teach people is, like, maybe don't do that. Don't. And, like, I'm not trying to make light of it. Like, this isn't even a joke. I'm, like, saying, don't do it. You all know. I know you all are. You guys listening out there.
You have to remember the three R's, okay? The three R's. Don't rape. Don't be racist. Don't rep for Scientology.
Okay. I kind of think two of those things are far worse than one, but fair enough. All right. Let's see. Going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Pooba in chat says, everyone has their personal subjective lines. I think it's okay for YYR to boycott, and I think it's okay to Loki to not care. And what's interesting, YYR says, I'll eat Chick-fil-A when they're open on Sunday. So
Jesus Christ, I wish they would open on Sunday, because their shit's pretty good. Like, I don't get why they...
So here's the thing, and this might surprise you. I'm not one of those people that's up and up to, like, I'm not, even though I get that Chick-fil-A has, their president has donated money to anti-LGBT causes, and I think that's fucking gross. I think a lot of people have donated money to anti-LGBT causes, and that's also fucking gross. And what works is education. The boycotts don't really work in that regard. I mean, and that's kind of on both sides of the fence. Like, the Chick-fil-A or look at Nike. Their shares are up like 34 or their stock value is up like 34% with all those people like burning their shoes and shit, because, which, by the way, remember what we said, don't be racist. But anyway, trying to avoid a slippery slope, but it's really hard sometimes, you guys. Anyway, my thought with the whole Chick-fil-A thing is I do eat Chick-fil-A, because here's the thing, like the local franchise owner, and you can look this up for yourself, actually donates to pro LGBT causes here locally to offset some of the stuff that the corporate does. I have many gay friends who've worked at Chick-fil-A who've said that their experiences were actually really positive. They were treated well and all this other stuff. So, like, I'm not excusing. I hate the fact that the money has gone to anti-LGBT causes, but I have also seen just from myself that I have been able to change many more minds by sharing my story, by sharing, like, who I am, and the fact that being gay is not a choice. It is the way that, you know, the same God that you believe in made me, just like he made you and all that stuff. And these things are, you know, it's my life that people are trying to, you know, be against with things like conversion therapy and all this garbage stuff out there. I think education goes a much farther way than you're canceled because you eat Chick-fil-A. It's just kind of my take on the whole thing. I would rather educate people as to why, you know, anti-LGBT causes are, honestly, it's a waste of money in one regard. But anyway, that's a whole nother thing. Act Deft in chat says, I know many LGBT people that go to Coachella each year, despite the parent company that owns the festival donates to anti-LGBT causes. So you know what? And honestly, if you're going to send that email to me that talks about how you can't believe that I just sat here and said, sure, I'll eat Chick-fil-A. I don't eat it every day, but I'll eat it once in a while. If you're about to send me that thing, just know you're giving me an invite to come through your house so I can point out everything problematic that you own. I think in my mind, I guess my point is, the question is not like the boycotting and the don't do this and that's like that. That's only going to go so far. What are we really doing to change minds? Because honestly, one of the first things I'm always going to ask you when you tell me there's like a problem with the world and all this stuff, I'm going to say, do you vote? Did you vote?
Well, and the other thing too, like not to play down anything. I think there's these issues are out there. They've been always out there. It's just now it's more prevalent because of social media. Like, I'm not going to say that all of the game companies and all the games beforehand, all the teams that have worked on it have been squeaky clean, and should we avoid games based on that? I'm like, yeah, now that we know, I guess this, we could boycott it. I'm just going to boycott it out of laziness just because I'm probably not going to get around to it ever. But I don't know. It's just like, it's too much for me to focus on. Why can't I just play games?
Well, here's the thing. Like, you know what? If you want to make an informed decision, and that's, you know, especially as I was seeing all this, I'm telling you, my honest reaction to this when I'm seeing YYR's email, I'm like, I wasn't really following this game. And you know what? Now I'm just not going to. You know what? I've got a million other games to play right now. I don't, you know, this one is just like, it's not going to be something I'm going to go seek out now. You know what I mean? That's
right.
And so there's nothing wrong with making an informed decision. You choose how you want to spend your money.
Besides, there's the other one that was, it's not Hat in Time. There's one that's Freeze Me. That's also another like 3D platform. Again, that's pretty good.
Okay.
So we'll pick up Freeze Me instead.
Yeah. All right. Anyhow, moving on. It just sucks that I live in this constant fear of, like, what I just said is going to get me canceled. You know what I mean? Like, that's just the society that we live in.
Let's check with the higher-ups on the board. Nope. We got no board.
What happened to just educating? What happened to learning?
Well, didn't you know this current administration thinks learning is bad? Science facts bad.
Anyway. I just want to make it very clear. I totally respect the email, and I appreciate the informed decision because, like I said, now I know, this is a game. Just it wasn't even on my radar, and now it's just not going to.
There's so many games.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Anyhow, moving on to there was a second update from YYR that came in on September 9th, Dreamcast Day, that says, hello, LR. I know you probably just got done with an email from me. Fooled you. We didn't have a show. But I'm listening to the latest episode of the airport, and I just want to clarify something. Xbox Game Pass is not a streaming service. You download an entire game to your Xbox One after which you can play it. That is the only way Game Pass works. Streaming is not an available option, and at the present time, Microsoft does not offer game streaming service for the Xbox One.
Good, because it sucks. I'm glad that they don't have streaming. It should all be download. I'm down with that. I'm download with that.
The only Xbox streaming that currently exists is the ability to stream from your Xbox One to your PC, but that's something entirely different. Anyway, that's it, and I hope you guys have a great week. Why am I saying
fuck that stupid PlayStation Now? I swear to God, I hate that shit. If you can download games, which, by the way, is a rumor, apparently that they are going to have downloadable games on the PlayStation Now. Apparently it came up on one of the things that like said download this title, so that's something interesting, but I don't know. I don't know if that's gonna actually become a thing pretty soon.
Okay, YYR is in chat and correctly stated, I forgot to finish the last email because we got on such a tangent about cancel culture and all that. I forgot to finish his first email. So let me finish the first email that said, moving on to something else. In mid-August, in response to the rumor that new Super Mario U was on its way to Switch.
Which it is.
Spoiler alert, it is. you guys wondered why it couldn't have been Super Mario Maker instead. Spoiler alert, it wasn't. All right, I'm done with that. I believe that the answer to this is simple. New Super Mario U simply has to come first. It's the same reason why Konami would never release a version of DDR that lets you add your own songs, because if they did, what would be the point of releasing another version? In the same way, if you can create or download the levels in Super Mario Maker, why would you buy new Super Mario U? Peachette. Should I said spoiler? Oh, I forget. I personally trust the rumor that Super Mario Maker marks the end of the 2D series for now. So to me, it makes sense to release the final proper game before its creation tool as opposed to after it. Finally, I wanted to express my gratitude. I heard every mention of super multitasking you made, Rob, and I really appreciate the plugs, every single one. I have so much gratitude for the fact that you're enthusiastically recommending my work at every possible opportunity. And allow me to do so again. That was my words, not his in the email. Allow me to do so again. Super multitasking on Steam. So for that, thank you very much. You're welcome very much. But one last thing is in no way whatsoever Super Mario 64 overrated. Fight me. Please don't actually fight me. YYR. And everybody, with that comment, super multitasking is canceled. No, I'm just kidding. Of course I'm kidding. Everyone's welcome to their own opinion. All right. There we go. That's it for emails tonight. Thank you so much to all our emails. If you want to send us an email for a future week, participate at orangeloungeradio.com. But in the meanwhile, we have some more stories to get into. Right, Loki?
Yes. Let's talk about some stories, including this ridiculous video coming from Microsoft talking about the Xbox One limited edition grease poof controller that has to do with, of course, PUBG, because, you know, winner, winner, chicken dinner. Apparently, it is covered with a impervious to grease urethane coating, and it's going to be a limited run, these gray and yellow controllers that are going to be available. Apparently, I don't know if this was for a certain region. It looks like it had something to do with the Australia, New Zealand. It was announced on the Xbox and the Australia New Zealand Facebook page, and they were having some, I think, contests in regards to the launch of the game there. Basically saying, I guess, you had to submit an anecdote about how grease has ruined your gaming experience or something like that. So, neat. I think those controllers, they should just cover all of the controllers with that so that grease doesn't... gamer hands, and not necessarily gamer hands, but kid hands. Holy fuck. Are they, like, just nasty shit? I mean, like, my Switch right now is fucking disgusting. I cleaned off every now and then, but, like, I don't know what the fuck they do to those things. They touch it with their, like, dirty-ass hands. I know what they do. They eat food and play games at the same time and don't wash their hands in between. And it's a big no-no.
And that's how you spread disease, like what we were talking about earlier in the show.
Well, yeah, kids are dirty. I mean, of course, a disease like that's going to spread everywhere. They, you know, I don't know.
All right. Well, something you can play with your grubby hands on these controllers. Actually, no, because this is on the Nintendo Switch. But is the Sega Ages Classic. That's right. Sonic is continuing the Sega Ages series. They were announced in Famitsu Magazine in Japan this week. Sonic the Hedgehog 2, Space Harrier, Columns 2, Outrun, and Thunder Force AC going to be made available in the Sega Ages collection. Columns 2, you're going to be able to do online battle. Cool. OutRun will have an arranged soundtrack as well as the original music. So don't worry if you're a fan of the original. That is not going anywhere. You get both. No prices, no confirmation these are even coming to America. I don't see why they wouldn't. And the Switch is region-free after all. But as of now, this is only confirmed for Japan. I don't think the Direct changed any of that or any of the subsequent news that I've seen. So anyway, that's what's going on with Sega Ages. However, I should also point out they are actually asking fans their most wanted Sega Ages game. So they're doing a Twitter survey asking Japanese fans what their most requested Sega Age game would be. The winner will be announced at Tokyo Game Show. And there is a Sega Ages stage event on the 22nd of September. So we're letting the internet vote on what should... Yes, nothing bad ever happened with this. Can we vote for Phantasy Star Online 2 Western release? Can I write in that vote? Oh, wait, that wouldn't work for Sega Ages. Although, wouldn't like a Phantasy Star Offline be a pretty cool thing? I guess that really wouldn't work. I'm just making shit up at this point. But, yeah, SSGO100 Matt in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Never let the internet vote. Nothing good will come from it. Yeah, that's kind of where I was going with this. To which Bobby Blackwell follows up with, Phantasy Star Online, Mick Phantasy Star Online face. Yes, that.
Of course, the vote. I mean, I understand Sega Ages were like classic arcade games, but most of the arcade games are classics now.
Yeah.
So clearly, the vote has to be for Daytona.
Do 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 do.
It has to be Daytona.
Can I vote for Samba de Amigo? With the Joy-Con controllers as the Sambas.
That could work,
right? Anyway, some other folks in chat are saying Gunstar Heroes. Yawn.
You already got Gunstar Heroes on Virtual Console. Enough. You know what? And it's been released on other platforms. It's time for more Daytona.
So what if it's like one of the greatest Genesis games always over?
Fuck if I care. Get that later. It's Daytona.
Samba de Amigo. Daytona. Both at the same time. Let's move on, Loki.
Let's get Fighters Mega Mix with all the, like, you know, we'll get all of the characters in there and brawl it. Yeah. Anyways, so Epic has dropped video capture off of the Switch version of Fortnite because of performance issues. First off, I was surprised that there was even video capture at all on Fortnite on the Switch, but apparently it was a thing at one time. But apparently it's been affecting, I guess, gameplay, and so because of that, they have patched it out. And it says, you may have noticed we've disabled video capture feature on Nintendo Switch as of version 5.40.2 client update. This was done for performance and stability reasons, as we've been seeing a high rate of out-of-memory related crashes. Disabling this feature saves a significant amount of RAM while also having the positive effect on the overall performance across the board. Yeah, I think that's fine.
So maybe this is why Nintendo didn't want to talk about Fortnite at their Direct. Who knows? I'm teasing a little bit.
The fact that they had video capture in there and voice chat is pretty fucking impressive, considering that, hello,
true,
Nintendo, why does Splatoon not have voice chat built in without using a fucking app?
Maybe now we know. It's got to have some power, and, you know, you're just using too much power to actually deliver
the game.
Oh, come
on. Splatoon is not that much more of a graphically intensive game than Fortnite, please. Mm.
All right. Bobby Blackwolf does point out, well, the video capture was using the Switch's native video capture feature. But, you know, isn't that still a certain amount of RAM in the background that's being taken up? Oh, interesting. All right. Anyhow, let's move on to another story. This was actually suggested in our Discord. So if you're not on our Discord server, you should join vognetwork.com/Discord. It will get you an invite. And there's an Orange Lounge radio channel where this story was passed on about a potential unannounced project from Blizzard. So this is kind of rumory, but there is some proof. There are some receipts behind this rumor, and it's from looking at the Blizzard job site, Blizzard Careers. We know a lot of Diablo stuff is in the works right now. Gee, I wonder what could be going on. Maybe we'll find out at BlizzCon. It's either an expansion or the number 4 might be seen. Who knows? Who knows? But anyway, Blizzard also has an unannounced project for people that want to build an action-packed game with a beautiful, visceral core combat experience. The person applying should have a passion for co-op games, RPGs,
and board games. They're hiring things like art director, character artist, environment artist, gameplay engineer, and a lead senior level designer position where you can actually get some bullet points as to what they're doing, including own level design and world building from conception to the final stages of polish, facilitating communication and coordinating team members to ensure the vision is clearly defined and understood. Let's see. I'm not trying not to read like all of these, but let's see. Partnered with engineering to define and create tooling that effectively complements Blizzard's world-class handcrafted level design. Some other things that I guess are in the job listings that are interesting. Next-gen AI, like motion capture systems, a robust first-person engine for the game, and a unique visual direction. So what could this be? Some people speculating it could be a Blizzard's answer to, and here's what Blizzard does very well. They take popular game genres and make them stupid easily accessible. They've done it with trading card games, Hearthstone. They've done it with EverQuest, World of Warcraft. They've done it with, you know, they've done it with other stuff. So what do you think Blizzard might be tackling now? And some people say it is...
No, not Battle Royale.
Battle Royale. This could be Blizzard's Battle Royale project. What do you think?
Stop jumping on that train. I think it's already gone.
You know what's interesting?
Be an innovator, not like a copier.
I remember on Horde House a long time ago, there was rumors that Titan, which as we know became Overwatch, essentially Titan was canceled and from the grave of the assets and things like that, that's where Overwatch came from. I think Overwatch, the battling was supposed to be like one part of the Titan game. But anyway, my point is, I remember one of the early rumors about Titan was that it was a James Bond-esque spy game. It was a spy versus spy type of game. It was an espionage spy type of game. I mean...
Team Fortress 2?
I don't know. Could this be like a James Bond-y spy type of game? I think that would be... Because, you know, when I hear like first person, I think, well, they kind of already have that with Overwatch. This is going to have to be different than Overwatch. So either it's, you know, Battle Royale-esque or it's, you know, simply something
Overwatch
we haven't seen yet.
Overwatch 2...
It feels early for that. Overwatch, it still feels early to say Overwatch 2 because, I mean, I still think if they're going to do Overwatch expansions, it's going to be single player. Because, like, they're still pumping heroes out there. They've still got Overwatch League is a big thing. And, you know, that's all kind of built into the base Overwatch game. So I'm not sure Blizzard suddenly wants to put out Overwatch 2 and disrupt all of that. Like, that doesn't make sense. I feel like this really is some type of new type of project. So... I don't know. Kaijudo says in chat, Overwatch isn't a spy game at all. I know. That's my point. Maybe this is. ActDeft in chat says, please give us a fucking single-player campaign, Blizzard. Could be. I mean, that might be why you would need to design levels and so forth. Maybe Overwatch is going to go with a single-player expansion. Who knows? I don't know. Anyway, we'll find out. Maybe at BlizzCon, or we might have to wait another year because Blizzard is very good at keeping things in the oven until they are very, very, very done. Kaijudo in chat does say, though, I want a Battle Royale espionage game. I think, yeah, I kind of think to tie the spy versus spy, James Bond, GoldenEye 64, but with Battle Royale, I think, I don't know, that might be kind of rad. We'll see.
Like everyone's wanting Agent, which is that game that was supposed to be...
Oh, yeah.
Rockstar stuff.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. All right. Anyway, a few more stories for you guys, then we're going to get to the Skype line for a little bit tonight. If you do want to call in, though, I encourage you to get in relatively quick because I'm not going to keep it open all night because the show's already running a little long. But we got some stories to get to before we get there. So first, Loki.
All right. Let's talk about uncensored sex. Yes, 100% uncensored sex games.
Anyways, Loki, I like you, but I don't like you.
So, you know, you may remember there was a whole like controversy with Steam and pulling down games off of their service that were like these visual novels and stuff. And then they're like, no, we're not trying to ban anything like that.
We just don't want people to see anime titty.
So now apparently they have approved the first 100% uncensored game called Negligé. And
oh my.
And it is out now for people to check out. But there is one small problem. Apparently, the you know, the content, in some countries it would be considered possibly illegal. So they have to ban it from certain regions. So, for example,
Belgium,
Japan, Malaysia, Botswana, Egypt, Morocco, Nigeria, South Africa, Sudan, Uganda, Bangladesh, China, Lebanon, South Korea, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, Turkmenistan, Belarus, Iceland, Ukraine, Russia, Australia, man, Papua New Guinea, Guyana, Iraq, Dubai, UAE, and Germany are not going to be able to check out this game. And that's made people sad.
Well, I mean, they can always pirate it. No, I'm not going to endorse that, but I just feel like that's what's going to happen when you ban something like that. People will find a way to get their anime titty. They will. So I'm just being a realist here, people. Are you interested in 100% uncensored sex games on Steam? Are you going to buy Negligee?
I don't like visual novel games, so probably not.
Probably not. Not enough action for you? All right. Well, maybe this will be more up your alley. They are making a game out of the novel series Goosebumps. You know what Goosebumps...
You're good, Goosebumps.
You know what the Goosebumps books are, right? I think those have been around since like we were in high school and that age. But anyway, Goosebumps the Game is on its way on the Nintendo Switch. It's going to be launching on October 9th from Way Forward. And that's Way Forward's been putting out some quality shit. So this actually might be pretty rad. This action game was originally released in 2015 as a prequel to the Goosebumps film. In the game, you are in the you're in the shoes of a character whose neighborhood has been overrun by R.L. Stein's monsters from the Goosebumps series. You have to outsmart and use your wits to investigate the clues and the surroundings and figure it all out before it's too late and you get eaten by a Gru. Oh, wait, that was a Zork game. But anyway, that is all on its way. So check that out on Nintendo Switch, October 9th. Anyhow, let's get to the calls. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype if you want to give us a call and talk about anything maybe we have or have not gotten to yet on the program tonight, especially since we've been gone for a little bit. Maybe you have something you wanted to ask us that we missed from the past couple weeks. Do we have any other last-minute stories you want to get into?
Yes, this is coming from Twitter from Stanley Tucci Main, and this is basically talking about a Silent Hill Enhanced Edition that fans have made, because if you may remember, the Silent Hill HD Collection sucked. So the Silent Hill 2 Enhanced Edition is basically a bunch of modifications to the PC version of the game that fix a lot of the issues. It adds widescreen support, a higher resolution display, removal of audio bugs, PlayStation 2 quality audio and fog, better controller support, and lots more. So you can go check it out.
That's pretty cool. Again, Orange Lounge Radio on Skype. I saw a call come in and I just missed it because I was looking at Loki when he was talking about
If you were looking forward to that mod, that's enhanced.townofsilenthill.com/sh2. So go check it out there.
Okay. We have a call coming in. Let's get to it. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hello, it's YYR.
Haven't we heard enough from you already?
No, I have more grievances. Sorry.
Okay. Fine. What else shall we hear about?
Okay, well, let me begin the airing then.
All right.
Wait, hold on. There's a lot. No, not just kidding. Actually, I'm going to refer to something that you said during your call with Bobby on his show last week.
Okay.
And that was when you mentioned Beat Saber, and you were talking about how, you know, people have just put in these stupid hard charts and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that that's also kind of part of the reason that you're turned off by new DDR,
mm-hmm.
Because there's been such an emphasis on these high-level charts, and that's just really not your scene.
Right.
And, well, I'm just going to mention, I mean, as it is, yes, they are adding a few new hard things to the game here and there, but despite that, the majority of new charts being added to the game are still in the 13 and below range, which is like easy nines on the old scale. So
maybe,
there
maybe
is still
about
a lot of
maybe these scale updates have got me all thrown off because you say 13 and I go, that's very, I can only do a 9. What do you mean a 13 is an easy song?
No, on the new scale, max 300 is a 15.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, and that's, let's be, max 300 was like the original ridiculous song. Look, and I'm
exactly.
Not, I'm not trying to knock the people that are into that, and I hope that's coming through, but I hope people kind of understand that it's like, when you're a dirty casual like me, which is an okay thing to be, you can be a fan of DDR and not, like, you know, have the stamina to crank out these level 15 songs and all this stuff.
I've been playing every single day, almost every single day, for at least 30 to 60 minutes a day, and I still don't have the stamina to do it. But then again, I play doubles, so
Wow. You should do max 300 on doubles.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Right.
They
stupid noob!
It's because I don't use the bar.
Okay, so I'll mention this with regard to that. I do play double, so, and yeah, I play max 300 on double occasionally too. And to make up for the fact that you have to use both sides, the actual step chart is a little less dense than the single version.
Oh yeah.
So, but I do hold the bar for it. You know, one hand on each bar.
Oh my gosh, that's like doing the splits.
You do okay. So DDR prohibits what in the groove calls stretch jumps. That's things like the left arrow on one player side and the right arrow on two player side.
Yeah.
I think the furthest DDR gives you is stuff like right on the one player side and up or down on the two player side. Like, you won't even see right on both sides. It will not give you that, so don't worry about it.
Down down sometimes, or up up.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen him do up, up, and down, down.
Because AM3D is the standard steps have down, down, I believe. Or
really?
Maybe that's
they're probably isolated jumps and not like right after other notes. Like, they're not coming at you as fast as they are in other songs. Like, jumps like that are okay when they're like spaced out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't remember seeing that in DDR, but yeah, it's uncommon.
Yeah.
In the groove, though, they just throw all kinds of crazy stuff in there because it's in the groove.
Because In the Groove fans are crazy. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I'm not starting that war again. I'm just teasing. I'm teasing.
But yeah, absolutely. And nobody in the community, from the, you know, the beginners all the way up through the super world-class experts, nobody looks down on people playing easier stuff. Everyone plays what they like, and it's a very positive community, and yeah.
That's good. Stay positive. And like I mentioned before, you know, so one reason I kind of like all the easy stuff. And yeah, you know, I know a lot of songs have easy stuff, but I feel like a lot of the stuff I see online is just like all the hard stuff. But I guess that's just, you know, people want to brag about their accomplishments and all, which is cool. But that, I think part of the reason I like the freestyle stuff is like, oh, it's like the easy, but it has finesse. And that's kind of what I was saying, kind of the point I was trying to make with the Beat Saber stuff, was that it's like, wow, somebody's like kind of figured out a way to like grade freestyle, sort of, which was something that was so, you know, opinion based before. It's like now Beat Saber kind of brings both those worlds together, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. And when I heard your comment about the scoring system and you know, that it takes your movements and your finesse into account, I don't know, I think I actually kind of like that. Yeah. Because it's something different.
Yeah, it's something different. You know, at the end of the day, how many of us are really playing for score? I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of hardcore music fans. There's going to be people raising their hand here and there. They're saying, me. But I bet there's a lot of people that are going to play Beat Saber just because they just want to play be in the experience. They want to ride the ride. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I play DDR for score, actually.
But I think with DDR even, there's a lot of people that are like, oh, cool, yeah, DDR is cool, I like that game. But they just, when they say that, it's like they hop on the machine occasionally and play it, and that's really it. You know what I mean? Like,
and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
But next time you play Ace, I definitely would encourage you to, you know, don't just go into the, you know, the extreme folder, the max 2 folder, or what have you, but keep holding down that up or down button and go to the level sort feature. It's very easy to find. You don't have to press any special button combination to find it. Go to the level sort.
Yeah, good call, because I do that in pop and music.
Yeah, and go ahead and find, you know, and what's really neat about DDR Ace is, let's say you go to level sort 10, So it shows you all the tense, but it doesn't just show you the expert tense or the difficult tense. It shows you all the tens across all the difficulties.
Yeah, no, I like that. Beatmania 2DX does that too, which I really like.
So that's but really nice. And you'll find a lot of new songs that way, and you'll get to play at your level, and everything is good, except for when they give a chart the wrong difficulty, which unfortunately happens a lot, but whatever.
Honestly, YYR, though, the real answer is, instead of going straight to the difficulty sort, what I usually do is I go straight to Ariana Grande. Can't help it. Can't help it.
That song is a banger.
It is. It even if it's like, even if there's like, I would much prefer if Into You was the song that was in DDR, but that's okay. You know what? We can't win them all. All right.
It's funny. I actually found an ITG chart for that. And it's a remix of the song that's just amazing, but the chart is really tricky. So it's like, oh, man. But before I go, I just want to address something I saw in chat from Dark Tetsuya.
Yeah.
You know, DDR is 20 years old this month. Uh-huh. And what's really interesting is that they did not update DDR Ace for like a period of 5 to 6 months. And then a few months ago, they started just throwing all these new songs into the game. And finally, they just dropped a massive update like a few weeks ago. And a lot of us in the community are starting to think that this is ramping up to a new game announcement like any day now.
Ooh, that would be fun. Especially to commemorate the anniversary.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, and because, you know, earlier in the year they launched Dance Rush Stardom, which hopefully you've had the chance to play because it's really fun.
No, I should bring that to Dave and Buster's.
No, I haven't played it yet.
Have one over here.
I've been since I almost went to round. Okay, here's you're gonna laugh. YYR. So I almost went to round one over the weekend because I was hanging out with my buddy JD and we were talking. He's as into the music games as you are. So
yeah,
we
I know. I played DDR with him when I was in San Fran a while back.
We were talking about going to round one. Because he doesn't really have a car, so you know it's hard, a little harder for him to get to round one. But you know what? YYR, what ended up happening? We went to Drag Queen Brunch instead.
I'm sure that was definitely entertaining in its own
it,
right.
It was because the drag queen performed Ariana Grande. So I still got my fix. So all right. Anyway, sweet. My friend, I'm gonna let you go to try to get some more calls. But take care, okay?
Hey, have a great week.
Thanks. You too. Bye bye.
Take care. Bye.
All right. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype if you want to give us a call. Yeah, true story. Went to Drag Queen Brunch. That's the first. They just opened a Hamburger Mary's in San Francisco, which is funny because that I think they used to have one there years ago, and then it closed. Now they have a brand new one. They do that kind of stuff there. So, you know, good times. Good times. Good way to have a really – oh, I tried to pick up that call, and it immediately hung up. That's not good. All right, we'll see if we can get one more call in here before we close up shop for the night. Let's get to it. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Oh, my God, Rob!
Hi. How you doing, Raginator? What's up?
Good, how are you?
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, two things. They're kind of sort of related. Sorry, I really haven't been around too much for the live shows. Unfortunately, real life is kind of getting in the way.
That's okay. We haven't really been around either.
Yeah, well, I usually try to make a habit of, you know, being around for the live shows and all that. You know, it's been a kind of a habit of mine for
me too.
10 years plus. but anyway, as it relates, to that, there's someone very close to me that's into gaming. That just started seeing relatively recently. She's into horror games predominantly.
Oh boy!
Now she already has Dead by Daylight and Resident Evil 7, which I gifted her, and she has already played the Fear series, and she plays all her games through Steam. Now that being said. What horror games can you name off the bat, aside from the ones that I listed, would you recommend?
Raginator, it's like the genre that I play the least because the scares are too much for me. Although, I mean, certainly if she is not playing the Five Nights at Freddy's series, those games are insanely popular, although some people don't like the jump scares.
I remember a game from a few years ago called Slender Man that people really liked to see me play on Twitch because when I would get scared the hell out of, it was always a good time. I liked the Friday the 13th game that they did, but I kind of think Dead by Daylight kind of took all those, because it's a very, very similar type of game. I think it kind of already took those people away, because then Friday the 13th ran into all these problems where suddenly, like, the movie licensing was an issue and all this stuff. So I think that game is kind of like dropped off really fast, and I think most of those people went over to Dead by Daylight. But I enjoyed the Friday the 13th game, so if she's never played it, I would think that's one. But you know what? I'm going to say go for the game, because these are the ones I'm more into. Instead of, like, the jump scares and things like that, go into the things that are really, like, the psychological horrors. Is Silent Hill available on Steam? Because that's going to be a series I'm always going to
recommend. I don't think so. If they are on Steam, I sure as hell haven't seen them.
Well, look for it and see if it's there, because that would be an absolute recommend from me. And then what was I also going to say as far as, like, the story?
Silent Hill Homecoming is...
It's not the best, but it's not. You could do a lot worse. We just talked about Alan Wake earlier. Is Alan Wake still available on Steam? Or is that only,
I think that was still available.
The original game, no. American Nightmare, yes.
Oh, that's weird. The original game is not. That's the one I would have recommended, because that's more the psychological thing I would have said. Okay,
yeah,
so
I think it has to do with music licensing, but I could be wrong.
Okay, so the chat room always helping me out when I cannot help. Pooba has a bunch of answers here. Amnesia. Oh fuck, I forgot about the Amnesia. She hasn't played Amnesia. Like, get the first one. I mean, the later ones aren't bad, but the first Amnesia game. Holy shit. That is one to do. Pooba also says Until Dawn. That's a PlayStation game, though. That's not on Steam. I'm trying to kind of filter this list for Steam. Evil Within. Was that a PC release, or is that only PlayStation?
No, game? That would have been PC as well, I think.
Maybe Evil Within. I've heard a lot of good things about that as well.
My son would recommend Bendy and the Ink Machine. That's free. The first episode's free.
Alien Isolation. I think that's a really good recommendation as well, and I know that's on Steam. And I know a lot of people are really into that. It's a different type of horror because the Alien games, but I hear it is fucking scary.
All right. Well, definitely keeping all that in mind. In fact, I know it's a couple months off, but I'm trying to get a couple ideas for her for Christmas presents. So, I'll definitely mark those down. On a related note, I can't say for sure, but there's a chance that you may have run into her. Well, at Dragon Con, I know there was like 80,000 people there.
Yeah, it's
so
a big place.
Trying to find one person is like trying to find a needle in a haystack. But do you remember seeing anyone in a BioShock 2 Big Sister cosplay at all?
Not this year. I've seen that in years past.
Yeah. What about like a variation of the Powerpuff Girls cosplay?
I do remember seeing Powerpuff Girls, but I'm not going to guarantee it was the same thing that... again, you're kind of right. There's 80,000 people. Honestly, I think the best chance that I would have run into her, if she's a horror game fan, she might have been at that Five Nights at Freddy panel.
I don't think she was went to any panels, at least not that she mentioned. She was more or less mingling around, going to various parties and whatnot.
That's what a lot of people do.
Unfortunately, I couldn't go with her, because travel expenses. But
sure,
she told me all about it. And, she told me she had a blast. So, but anyway, I'll let you go. I've been rambling on too long, and I'm sure you want to take some more calls. But I'll speak to you soon. All right?
No worries. Take care, and we'll see you soon.
Yep. You too.
Yep. Bye. Yeah. I don't know if I would have found one particular person at DragonCon. There's a lot of cosplays, to be honest. A lot of excellent cosplay. And I've seen the full-on... Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm getting my BioShock terms mixed up, because I saw the big daddies, like the full-on like mech shit. I saw that like a couple years ago, and that was like, I remember thinking like, that was some impressive fucking cosplay, like, but they have said Dragon Con has been called the Super Bowl of cosplay, and it does that for a reason, because there's some really impressive stuff there. But in all honesty, this year I tried to stay away from a lot of that, because they all hang out at the Marriott, and it's so crowded. in there, and like I can do crowds to a point, but like it doesn't happen to me a lot. But I had a claustrophobia moment at Dragon Con this year. That has not happened to me since the very first GamerX that was in the basement of this very small hotel, and like all these panels were letting out at the same time. It got too crowded down there, and my brain just went, what if this place caught on fire right now? And I like started freaking out. So I had a moment like that at Dragon Con this year. And so that's why I just kind of try to stay away from a lot of the crowded areas. But I mean, not to say I like completely avoided him, because I remember Travis Donovan and his wife really like to hang out at Pulse Bar, which is like the central for all that stuff. So I did have to wade into it a couple times. So I did see some of that. Which, shout out to Travis, by the way. It was really good to see him this year, as well as even more so his wife. All right. One last call for calls here at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. And if we don't get anything, then I think we'll wrap things up. But anything else you wanted to mention, Loki?
No.
Before we get out of here for the night? It's been a long time since we've done a show, so I'm really glad we were back tonight. So, all right. Well, Ragenator just posted a picture. So I'm going to take a look right now at that picture. I mean, I'm probably not going to remember it, but let's see. You never know. Ooh, that's a really good cosplay for what it's worth. Damn. Is that your friend? Okay, so like, again, it's a radio show, so I'm having a hard time. They took the picture in front of the... Oh, they must have done this at the Georgia Aquarium on Thursday. So they actually have a picture in front of all these fish to make it look like it's underwater, and it's really well done. So, I mean, props on the cosplay.
Scared all the kids at the aquarium.
Yeah, scare everybody there. That's pretty good. All right. Well, no other calls are coming in, so I think we're going to close up the Skype line. But I will say, if you didn't get through tonight, but you do want to say something, you can get to us on Discord. You can send us a Twitter message or any of that stuff. All of that would work very well. And, participate at orangelaundry.com to send us an email. So, anyway, I did want to say a big thanks to everybody for being here, especially after we've been off for a couple weeks. I know it can throw off your rhythm, so thank you so much for finding us again, or maybe you found us for the first time. Thanks for being with us here on Orange Lounge Radio. We don't ask for money here at Orange Lounge Radio. All we ask is that you spread the word. Help tell a friend or two or five about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but only if the voices are here to air their grievances, as YYR did earlier in the program. A nice 5-star review on iTunes or Google Play, wherever you found this show, that all goes a very long way as well. We really appreciate all that. So I think on that note, we're going to wrap things up. Loki, your final thought?
My final thought is go play Old School Musical. Pretty fun.
My final thought is I will.
There you go.
All right. Done deal. My final thought is I hope my internet gets fixed, because I miss streaming on Twitch, but at least I'm starting to get creative and think of workarounds. But it's going to be very hard to move this show to Twitch if we can't stream on Twitch. But I guess we could always just do a low bitrate. I didn't say the video would have to be HD quality. All right. But that's really it. We're done for the night, and we'll see you next time here on Orange Lounge Radio. Thanks for being here. Till next time, like, seriously, just don't be an asshole gamer. It's not hard. Don't be an asshole. Just get out of bed today and say, I'm not going to be an asshole. And then hopefully you won't.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.